Bobbin, everybody. You're looking live at the DealsInTheD.com studios in Ferndale, Michigan. And let's roll with another week. The beginning of baseball season.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. Tigers at Chicago. Yeah, just left town. Day early.
Yeah, you should have stayed.
I don't know about going to games in 40-degree weather. I'll wait till Friday to do that.
Well, no. What's the weather supposed to be like Friday? Mid-50s?
Honestly, I don't know. It'll probably be better than that. It's getting there. It's got that early baseball season feel to the weather. Although, God, when I left on Thursday, it was hailing.
Yeah.
Just sucked. And the first day in Chicago was freezing. I mean, it was like a winter day, honestly.
This weekend was nice.
We had one nice day. See, Saturday was okay. But anyway, it was nice to see Evan and his lovely girlfriend, Alyssa. Met their parents. All that stuff.
Fun.
Yeah. Just the kind of stuff I'm built for.
Well, it's, you know, whatever. It's fine.
No, it was fine. We watched, actually, it was nice because they're basketball fans. So we watched the ball games on Saturday. And Tess has a chance to win the pool. And Evan's girlfriend is winning her pool. They both have Gonzaga and UNC in the final game.
Wow.
And Gonzaga winning it.
And yeah, Tess knocked my father-in-law out. Because he needed Oregon to win.
He had Oregon
really? And Gonzaga in the final. He can still finish
did
second.
Did he have Carolina in the
yeah.
Other, he mm-hmm. did.
Yep.
Who did he have Gonzaga? Did he have the whole Final Four right?
No, he did not have South Carolina.
Wow.
But still, he had 3 out of 4 this year.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Did you see that that girl in Carolina has all 4?
No, please.
Why is that a news story?
Whatever.
And boy, is she she's getting a big head about it, too.
What, does she actually think she knows something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she does.
Mm-hmm.
Should we call her and find out what
you know,
she does
I can't,
know?
It's funny. I read about 10 different stories about her, and she mentions her mom's name, but she never mentions her dad's name. And I scoured the internet for about 30 minutes and cannot find a parental name because she's only 12. And she's got a very,
she's 12?
Yeah, she's got a very common last name.
Did she pick Mississippi over UConn in the women's bracket? Did she pick Michigan to win the WNIT? By the way, is there a less newsworthy story than Michigan women's basketball winning the WNIT? I didn't even know there was a WNIT until they won it. Did you know there was one?
I did not.
I honestly had no idea.
And I did not know Michigan was in it until one day I got a text from the university wanting me to buy tickets to women's basketball. I'm like, huh?
When was the NIT final, by the way?
I think Friday or Saturday. Saturday.
I bet the number of people that knew there was a hash bash Saturday was about 50 times that what knew that Michigan was in the NIT finals.
Did you see where the NIT championship game was played?
It was in Madison Square Garden. I just saw a lot of empty seats.
It's at Callahan Hall. It was at U of D.
It was?
Yes.
Did you notice all the empty seats, by the way?
Yeah.
I mean, it was
women's
so
NIT,
empty.
Drew.
Actually, the UConn-Mississippi game, there were a lot of empty seats, and it only showed the lower level. And you could see, no, whatever. The 110-game winning streak is the finest achievement in the history of man or womankind.
If you just want to forget about Trinity squash team, that's fair, I guess.
What's Trinity squash team? How many?
I think it was 257.
Oh, boy.
Which is pretty remarkable.
You must be the best athletes in the world.
Do you know when the women's NCAA championship is?
I have no idea.
Right now!
Oh, it is!
Being played right this second. And
can we see if there are any empty seats?
Well, what ticks me off about it, Drew, is Madison Bumgarner was pitching for the Giants for opening day.
Yeah.
Against Arizona. Had a perfect game through 5. And it's on ESPN2, where the women's championship game is on ESPN. I just, you know, I knew they did that last year too, but I'm just surprised opening day for a big market team in San Francisco is on ESPN2.
Well, you know, some things we're just going to engineer and make them right. If we can't force people to think the way they should think, then we'll try and engineer it by televising them on more important networks. Whatever we have to do, we'll make them equal in coverage in the sports section. Whatever it takes.
Well, Robin Roberts is there.
Is she there? Seriously?
I would think she would be there as wet as she's been over Mississippi State this whole
month. Oh, my God.
Month.
They're going through cushions at GMA like they've never gone through before.
No, remember they're the wheelchair, like the chairs on wheels.
Oh, it's they just do the whole chair. It's
just
faster.
You see people just launching them out of the back of the building towards the dumpster, one after another.
Yeah, boy.
You know what's funny?
Dumpster full of chairs.
Just all moist. Just in a dumpster full of flies.
Homeless people won't even go in there. Disgusting.
God.
I'm sorry.
I couldn't. I don't think I could care less about the NCAA Women's Championship, except for the fact that I want Mississippi State to lose
because
I don't want to hear about it tomorrow morning on Good Morning America.
I couldn't agree more.
So go Gamecocks. It's probably another reason she doesn't want South Carolina to win.
Okay. Well, some interesting news to get to here in a second. But first, let me just mention our friends at Zot Ford, who, of course, are so thankful for all the leased and new cars that have been sold to people listening to this here podcast. They thank you for your amazing coverage. Yeah, thank you. Allows them to support the beloved podcast with all of us and whoever else hangs out in the DealsNitty.com basement. Celebrating this giant love fest. How else would we celebrate this than with coming up with some outrageous new deals, including a new 17 Ford F-150 4x4 Super Cab at $173 a month, the sweetest truck in the world for under $200 a month, only from Zot Ford and DealsInTheD.com. Plus, you can still get a 24-month lease on a new 17 Ford Fusion or Ford Escape for just $121 a month, the choice of a brand-new sedan or SUV for just $121 a month. I sound like Fouts trying to describe that technology.
1, 2, 1.
Or is that something else? Hurry down to Zot Ford, I-75 and exit 98, just past the Jesus sign. Take advantage of this sweet offer today. And then let's get our new friends in here. That'll be our friends at Adam.
Hello, friends.
We've spoken about Adam before for many years, back at the old joint. Facing divorce or custody issues, you need Adam. The American Divorce Association for Men, protecting men's rights in divorce and custody matters for nearly 30 years. Visit them on the web. Read some of the reviews from satisfied clients with phrases like professional, accessible, responsive attorneys. They put us at ease, and they really cared about my case. They saved me from losing everything I had worked for. This is not my quote, by the way, but these are quotes from the site. Call Adam. Let them educate and guide you through this difficult process. Call Adam at 248-356-2326, 248-356-ADAM. Or on the web at adamdivorcelaw.com. Thank you, Adam. Adam, like it's a guy named Adam.
Yeah,
helping support this podcast. And, of course, a very serious issue. A lot of people are, miserable. Tough thing to go through. You need the best help you can get, no doubt about it. And, you know, there was some big radio news. 89X is pulling their American office.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's weird.
Too bad they let that morning show go.
Yeah, they could have. I don't think they had the money.
They could have saved their ass. They could have saved our ass.
Well, they probably would have been making revenue.
Yeah,
off of it.
Well, I wonder who it was.
Station
would
probably exist.
Who was it? Who is the person that decided? See, that should have been the picture in the story. Should have been here's the guy that let Chuck and Dave wouldn't pay Chuck and Dave what they wanted or what they should have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Let them get away to America to WRIF and knock us off our job, bastard. Who is that bastard?
And now because of that, all these people are blown out too.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, people who underestimate a winning morning show or a morning show that's doing well. Not too smart.
You know, it's interesting. On Friday, or maybe it's Thursday, when that news broke, they had, I guess the guy was the co-founder of 89X, which I thought was a little weird.
Founder?
That radio stations were founded. But that's how he was described. But he kind of hinted at that. Like, you have to have a morning show to make money.
Who was the founder? Who was this?
Let me find the story. It was on Fox 2.
Well, that was the first morning show they ever had over there that did anything. Their morning shows never did anything.
No. And originally, wasn't Kelly with them? Kelly Brown?
Was she with... She was on the morning show for a long time.
And then she was with, I think, Dave.
She was?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know
what that matters, but then...
I just never heard about that morning show, ever. You just never heard much about them at all.
Too, yeah.
And then, Also, Linda Lee from YCD died. She'd had cancer for, I think, 7 or 8 months. And she died. She was supposed to get an award in Vegas, too, today. Man. I know. Terrible story. And she was there 20 years. So the radio world.
That sucks.
Rough weekend. Yeah, too bad. Terrible.
I found the story. The guy's name is Lex Kuhn, 89X, co-founder.
Never heard that name.
Unless you have a live morning show in Detroit, you're not really competitive. You're sort of running up the white flag. But that's always been the tension.
So why didn't they put together, I mean, okay, if they let the morning show go, why didn't they put together a new one?
Well, maybe he wasn't, he founded and founded 89X and then left.
Yeah, I don't think he was still there, not that I know of. I wouldn't know. But anyway, then, you know, I was going to mention, too, over the weekend. Well, first of all, I picked up a couple books, one being Peter Hook's book about New Order and Joy Division called Substance. Oh, my God, this book is great.
Substance, what a good name for them.
It really is. And, you know, we played New Order. We played Age of Consent one day on the podcast. It's really funny, too. I got two or three emails right away. Who is that band that you guys were playing when we played Age of Consent? Because it's a great kind of new wavy song from the early 80s. Just a fantastic song. And a lot of people, especially millennials, they just totally missed new wave and punk. I think punk gets a lot of attention now. But a lot of that great new wave music just sort of disappeared. And New Order's still out there, though. They've been playing really pretty much throughout. And, man, it's one of those rock and roll bios where you got somebody just really telling the story the way it happened. Not, for example, the Hall & Oates book, John Oates, I picked up that book too. It's a very sanitized version. You know, I was on the road not behaving like a married man.
Not much
in the way of details about what that entailed.
Come on, Oates, spill it.
Whereas Peter Hook just, it's just everything, just lays it out there. You remind me of the NoFX book.
Who is Oates protecting by not spilling?
Himself, I guess. He's got a kid now. I don't know.
Then why write it at all?
Well, I probably got a nice advance for it. I bet it's doing well. Probably doing better than this book. Although this, oh my God, it's long.
Huge.
Look how big this book is. It's all, I mean, really funny. I'll read a couple pages of it later on.
I want to see the pictures. I want to see the pictures. The
pictures seem to end around 1985, strangely.
That's odd. Ooh, big collision in the women's game. Going for a layup.
You know, I want to mention, too, because anytime I land in a hotel room, it's always movies on demand because you can see stuff. Used to be you could see stuff before you could ever catch it on demand. That's not so true anymore, but there's probably a few in there. Anyway, I watched Founder. About McDonald's.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton is Ray Kroc. Boy, he was a real prick.
Ben's just telling the story.
I don't think he was telling the story. I don't think it was anything out of his diaries.
Why do you say he's a prick? Because of the oral agreement?
Yeah,
that was kind of a shitty move.
These guys, did you see the movie?
No, but I know the story pretty well.
Yeah, I forgot. I didn't know you would know the Ray Kroc story that well.
I've read his autobiography.
Oh, really?
Well, when I was in eighth grade.
Yeah, he agreed to give these guys 1% of future profits of all the McDonald's or McDonald's real estate division or whatever it was they were fighting over.
Yeah.
What he did was he was making about a 0.5%. Ray Kroc was. Mm-hmm. McDonald's was started by two guys in California. Mm-hmm. They were the ones that came up with the whole plan, which really amounts to the way the cooking area is set up and the way people move to get food out fast.
Efficiency.
Yeah. And they were extremely efficient. And it's funny, they chalked it up on a basketball court, is the way it was shown in the movie. And they had all the bodies out there moving around. I'm sure that was the most boring day in the history of McDonald's employees because they were at their positions they showed them bumping into each other. Yeah. And they finally got it right. And that was what Ray Kroc took and selling franchises. You know, he said, this ought to be franchises. Fantastic.
Which they had the McDonald's brothers had no desire to.
They had done it before and had found, you know, they would go to visit the site and they'd be selling chicken as a side item or, hey, we got chicken wings. And they would add all these oddball items to the menu. And
you got to keep it simple.
Yeah, they didn't control it very well. Well, Kroc did. He started selling franchises for these guys. He controlled it completely. And then when it turned out he wasn't making any money because he only made 0.5%, this guy played by the guy in The Office who was in that weird love affair. Oh, God, I can't think of his name. Dark hair.
Oh, Nick Offerman?
He was in love with Kelly, or Kelly was in love with him.
B.J. Novak?
Yeah, B.J. Novak plays this. I believe he's an attorney or a CPA, one or the other. He tells him, what are you doing? Why don't you own the land that these McDonald's are on and lease the land to them? So he started the real estate arm of McDonald's and starts making this money.
Really what McDonald's is a real estate company. They own the land and the building.
So now he's this whopping real estate magnate all of a sudden, and he starts telling these guys who started the whole thing, this is how it's going to be done. And, for example, he put powdered milkshakes on the menu at one point. No ice cream, just powder in water.
Mm-hmm.
And it created these thick shakes that I guess they're back to ice cream now. They no longer exist. But he did that to save money at one point. And he just said, we're doing it, too bad. And one of those two guys that started literally, they made it look like he had a heart attack. He was so stressed over the way the franchising thing was being done and the fact that Kroc was telling them what he was going to do. And eventually, they cut a deal with him. They sued him. He settled, and he said, okay, I'll give you 1% of future profits, but I can't put that on paper. My attorneys won't let me do this for some reason, and they agreed to that.
Yeah.
And, of course, he stiffed them. So he was a pretty major prick. He also he also told his wife at dinner one night, yeah, I want a divorce. Mm-hmm. And they just kept eating dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Reminded me of Nixon in the Nixon movie, the way he would ring the bell for Pat.
I was talking to my parents about it because they saw it. And
oh, what'd they think?
Well, you know, my dad actually knew him.
Ooh.
My mom goes, well, they didn't get his voice right. I'm like, what do you mean? My mom goes, he can't talk like this. I'm like Bob Hope? He had a really high-pitched voice where he cracked it.
Hey, these powdered milkshakes will save us a lot of money.
But my mom, you know, my mom admitted he's a little cutthroat, but he treated the franchisees really well. No, I think it was in the 70s or late 70s. He just gave him a bunch of stock. And I don't know. They liked him.
Well,
but they're not the McDonald's brothers, so.
No. And then I also saw Gold, the Matthew McConaughey movie.
Oh, yeah. That's where he's bald. Based on a true story.
Really, the whole point of the movie is the McConaughey bald movie.
Yeah. The thing I'm most interested about that is the Iggy Pop song that is nowhere to be found that was nominated for an Oscar. Do you remember you and I were talking about that?
Yeah.
Was it in the movie? Did you notice it?
I did not notice it. I did not hear an Iggy Pop song. Although I didn't watch the closing credits. That's a lot of times where these good songs are buried for some reason.
Yeah, it was nominated. It was either a Grammy or an Oscar for, you know, best song.
I think he won, didn't he? Or maybe lost.
I can't remember. But we could not find it anywhere on the internet. It turned out that it was never really released in anywhere except for in the movie.
That's weird.
Yeah. Did you like it?
It wasn't bad. It didn't have good ratings, so I was really reluctant to even try it. Same thing with Bad Santa 2. Had pretty bad ratings and was pretty bad.
Oh.
You know, honest to God, versus the first Bad Santa, it's not even close. Huh. And the little kid is grown up in it, the same guy,
yeah.
But he's like 21 now, and not the same effect as when he was 12 or 10 or whatever he was. You know, he's the cute little fat kid. That you feel sorry for.
What was his name? Merman? What was his name in the movie?
Oh, my God. I can't even remember. It's Merman been three Sherman? Days.
Oh, man. Now I got to look it up because that's going to drive me nuts.
Well, it was just disturbing to see him at an older age.
He had to be kind in the like, movie, though.
Oh, he's big time in the movie.
Oh, I know. They couldn't not put him in the movie.
Thurman Merman.
No. Thurman Merman.
Thurman, that's right.
Thurman Merman.
It was, I don't know.
You didn't like it?
Not really. I mean, it's got all the swearing and all the nastiness of the first one, but it's just not as funny. It's just not even close. The first one was so good. I thought it was really good. And
what was the one you said before that, between Gold and that? I thought you mentioned a fourth.
I did see Hidden Figures.
Oh,
I didn't mention
wow.
it, though.
Really? And?
Yeah, that was pretty good. Pretty good movie.
Huh.
You know, it's probably not, again, probably not built for me. I don't think it was marketed to me, but it was a pretty good movie.
I really want to see that.
I really want to know. You know, it's funny. I don't know why. It's not a racial thing with me, but I'm just very skeptical that these three people were so instrumental in getting that. I guess it was a Mercury. It wasn't Apollo, I don't think, then. I think it was a Mercury with Alan Shepard. the guy, Sputnik had gone up. The Soviets had sent up Sputnik, and so we had to hurry up and get something up there. So, hey, we're right up there with them.
Give me three black women.
We're spying on the world, too. And they really make it seem like these three black chicks, there's no way it would have happened without these mathematicians.
How many mathematicians were involved?
Well, in the movie, I mean, it's really like those three people were everything. I mean, there's,
well,
as far as I'm concerned, there's just no, we don't even get up to the, we don't even
their
get,
story.
We don't get past 10,000 feet without those three black chicks.
I don't know, maybe we wouldn't.
And there's a real heavy scene in the movie, too. Okay, spoiler alert.
Is this where they rip the sign down?
Yeah. How did you know that?
Well, because we've talked about this before. That's the controversy about the movie.
Is that, did that happen?
No.
Okay, I knew it didn't happen. So I knew it didn't happen.
That old lady, the one they wheeled onto the stage at the Oscars and just left her out there,
uh-huh.
who could have died
yeah.
while being on stage.
Well, she was out there long enough to expire.
I saw an interview with her, and they were talking about that. No, that didn't happen at all. The women just started using the bathroom. There was no big, pronunciation and tearing down of the sign, and that's the controversy because it makes it look like, who's the white actor?
Costner.
Yeah, it makes it look like Costner saved these three poor black women by taking down the sign and saying, you can use the bathroom, which didn't happen. And the filmmaker says, well, you know, it's for dramatic effect.
Not only that, he tore this one a new ass because, you know, where you go when you disappear for 40 minutes every day? And she goes ape shit on him. And like the whole room just comes to a complete stop while she explains that she has to go all the way to this other building to use the colored restroom.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's so... in the movie, I thought, no, wait a second. That's so ludicrous. She has to go, like, a good 2 miles to get to the colored bathroom. Would they really do that? Someone who's that important. I mean, we can't even get that rocket off the ground without her. And she has to go to a building a mile away to use the ladies' room.
The story
really hinky to me.
The story I saw made it seem very minor, where they're just like, I'm just going to use this bathroom right here. And they would just go in and use the bathroom, and nobody really cared. That doesn't make a good movie.
Yeah, that was a good scene in the movie, too. Definitely. I mean, it was. It worked. If they made it up, it worked.
So it's based on, once again, based on a true story.
Did you happen to see the video of the Dodge Durango that crashed into the two cars sitting at the toll booth?
No.
Over the weekend? Oh, my God.
No.
What a... Did you see it, Jay?
No.
It's the most incredible crash video. The Durango is going so fast when it gets to these two cars that are sitting there. And somebody died, I think, in the front car. It's actually practically on its side when it gets to the toll booth.
Where
it takes the booth out. I think it was down south somewhere. I can't remember exactly. I was looking back at old newscasts from a few days ago, and it was somewhere in there.
Oh, in Houston?
Yeah, Houston, exactly.
Yeah, video shows deadly. Oh, my goodness.
I know, isn't that amazing?
Well, this is just the still of the aftermath. What do you mean my browser won't support Flash? Your browser won't support
Oh, Jay's
Flash.
Got it. Can you believe that shit?
Let me see it, Jay.
This is really something. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, one more time. One more time.
I guess you didn't want to pay the toll, huh? Oh, there's three cars.
Yeah.
That
guy is flying, man. Oh, my God. It is practically on its side.
Watch the toll booth operator. Zero reaction.
Oh, my God. Yeah, almost takes the whole booth down. I'm amazed it didn't.
Wow, that's a sturdy booth.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, whoever built that booth deserves a raise.
Holy cow.
Wow. There was a chase in Detroit over the weekend, too, where somebody... who had, I think, just stopped the car for the cops and then decided to take off. And like 2 blocks later, they were going so fast, they hit a tree and the car split in half. They must have been going. They must. It was
like
over the weekend, I think.
Before,
they must have been going 100 miles an hour.
Now, you know the bus crash in Texas, the church bus?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you seen the update to that story?
No, I don't think so.
The guy that caused the crash that was driving the truck
right.
was texting long time, and was being followed by a guy who called the police and said, you got to get this guy. And he has video of him while he's texting and driving. There's one time he's going over a hill, and he's damn near in the left lane. And a car's coming the other way. That happens, you know, it's four lanes. So the car coming was in the right, his right lane, and he was in the other lane. But still, that was a close call.
How could you be texting on a road like that? Well, it's amazing.
Serious issue, shallow thought. The guy that filmed it and called 911 made sure to point out that my girlfriend was driving shotgun and she was filming. Because you know, you know, he didn't say that. People go, hey, why are you filming while he's texting? So they had to make that known.
Speaking of filming.
What an asshole. Kills everybody on that bus. He survives.
Oh, boy. Always seems to work that way.
And allegedly admitted to Super Citizen, the guy that was filming him, that, yeah, I was texting the whole time.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. Idiot. That reminds me, though, of all the video I just watching 2020 about the girl that went to the Grand Canyon and drove into Death Valley.
Yeah.
Duh. An hour and a half down a gravel road with like a quarter tank of gas. What are you thinking about? And she in her video diary. Yeah, she's following her GPS. In her video diary, she's saying how stupid she felt. And I was going, I know that's about all I could think of was how stupid that was. But 21-year-old, she was going to go to spring break, but she was tired of spring break or something. She went a lot better off at spring break.
I went by herself too. I couldn't get anything going. What's interesting is because she was so stupid in following her GPS.
Yeah.
That everybody that saved her had to say, "Oh, she was really brilliant, and now she survived by writing out help and
with rocks." I know the rancher. The guy's a 1,200-mile ranch, and it was actually his territory she was on. He even said, "Well, normally we'd have had one of our guys that would have gone by, but he just happened to be on a 5-day vacation. It happens all the time with people." And everybody was kissing her ass. Stop kissing her ass. She fucked up and she was dumb.
They make her look like she's the greatest survivalist that's ever.
Oh, they pointed out her ROTC background, her 10 years in Girl Scouts.
And they pointed out, which I think this is very dubious, that the guy on the helicopter that arrived to take her out of there was flirting with her.
Why? Because she was wearing those low-cut tops with her big tubes flopping out? Did anybody notice that? Seriously, she shallow thought?
Lots of people noticed that.
My God.
She's huge.
Yeah, she's a big girl. But she's got those big juggies just trying to fight their way out of that little top. I mean, you think for her video diary, she's giving her will and testament. You'd think she might put on something a little more appropriate.
And she's a redhead, so she was just burnt to a crisp.
Oh my God.
Poor girl.
Stupid story.
But, you know, she's a hero.
I'm not saying she's stupid. She was stupid to do that.
Yeah.
It was really dumb. Yes. Especially with, I think they said she put in $5 of gas instead of filling up the tank because she, because she's a millennial and people just, that's how they fill tanks. But she was on a spring break driving vacation of all these landmarks. I mean, you got to fill the tank up at some point.
Instead of $5.
Yeah, why $5 at a time? I mean, maybe I'll make it on $5, even though I'm driving like 2,000 miles.
At what point do you go, I'm not going to follow my GPS anymore. This is ludicrous.
It's funny. I have followed GPS farther than I should have a couple times. I mean, literally took me off an interstate. I'm like, oh, really? Changing highways here? I didn't even think we changed highways. Next thing you know, I'm driving through a neighborhood. Like, this is not right. Come on. There's no way. That's so weird when that happens. I was in an area. It wasn't a rural area at all either. It just went wacko on me.
You're like Clark Griswold on Vacation driving through East St. Louis.
Something like that. Ridiculous. Just ridiculous. John Gosselin.
Oh, this is the most infuriating story of the weekend.
No wiener. No, didn't take his shirt off.
That's not why this story's infuriating, though.
Well, he claims he broke the internet.
Well, we should just play his explanation of what really happened.
I was pointing out, I had got the internet all weekend. I didn't have any problems. I don't know about you. It didn't seem broken to me.
Well, you know, everybody, especially if you listen to us, saw the poster where he was performing at the Mail Review. So the thought is, oh, Gosselin's going to strip. Which, whatever strip means, totally nude, partially nude. But as soon as we called them, we sniffed it out. It was April 1st, and
total BS.
It's gross.
Yeah, there's no way.
Be nude.
People didn't want him to strip.
So now he put up a Facebook post as to explain the truth.
Oh, God.
And what's really going on. And he sounds just like our impersonation.
Is he sounding very Gosselin-esque?
Oh, yeah. And he looks like such a dick.
Hi, I'm John Gosselin, and I just broke the internet.
No, you didn't.
And I messed with the media a little bit. So, guys, everyone wants to know why I did this. Well, let me tell you a little bit about myself.
Don't.
I've been under media scrutiny for a good part of my life, 10 years. And
you put yourself out there for the media scrutiny.
Yeah, you did a television show with your 8 brats. You had twins, and then you still took fertility. You had your wife take fertility medicine, and then you had 6 more brats.
And nice railing on the media when you knocked up or dated
Kate Major.
Kate Major, who worked for Us Weekly.
Yeah, you stupid fuck. You only see like 6 of your 8 kids because 2 of them are sick of you.
But it's real love.
Media scrutiny for a good part of my life, 10 years. And with filming in the media and doing all those things, it's an editor's decision on how I'm portrayed. Well,
no, it's not. You
from my standpoint, I want to tell you directly where I'm coming from personally. When it comes to the media, some are worse than others. Which brings us back to the original question.
Which brings us back
why did I do this? I'll tell you why. Because I wanted to give myself the best 40th birthday present ever.
What a child.
I wanted my family and my friends to be there, and why not have a huge party?
He wants his family and friends to be there. How many of his children were there? Right?
His family?
I want my family.
Who in his family would want to go see that stupid show?
Well, maybe my 8 kids.
Glad there's so many whores in your family that want to go see all these guys strip.
What child wants the greatest 40th birthday ever?
This strikes me as revisionist history.
All right, I'll stop interrupting. Go ahead, John.
Be there, and why not have a huge party in an amazing venue? Stripping? Who said I was stripping?
You.
I tell you who said I was stripping. Some of the media said I was going to take my clothes off. Based upon a flyer that said debut, April 1st, April Fool's Day, where do they get stripping? Oh, I get it. Men Untamed. Men Untamed is a choreographed male burlesque show, not a strip club. It's even located in a state-of-the-art facility in Atlantic City.
We called your asshole boss and asked, and he didn't tell us. He was very unclear as to what was going on.
And we said this was all bullshit and April Fools, and you would never strip because you're disgusting.
Oh, you're so smart, John, and everyone else is so dumb. I can't believe it.
Oh, I get it. All male review.
I'm smart, and everyone else is dumb. I finally proved it. I'm so cool.
Inside Caesars. Here's another thing. Not only could I have my 40th birthday party here and have my family and friends and pay myself, I could donate a portion of the proceeds to my favorite charity.
$1.
St. Jude's. St. Jude's Children's Hospital has always been near and dear to my heart.
That dollar wisely,
a couple years
St.
ago,
Jude's.
We were able to visit, and it has always been my go-to charity. What started out as a great social experiment turned out to be an incredible experience. And I'm glad Planet Earth still cares about me. Stay tuned for more in 2017.
No.
There is a lot more to come.
No. No, we will not be staying tuned, you dope.
C-U-M.
When you tell the media that you outsmarted them, they tend to take it personally. So I think your next event will probably not get the same amount of attention, you dumbass.
What started out as a social experiment. You can now call me Dr. Gosselin.
I want to know what the portion of the proceeds was, by the way.
Oh, $1.
5%.
Portion
max.
Of the proceeds is the biggest lie.
Believe me.
Hear that.
We know as well as anyone. It can be complete bullshit.
0.00001%.
Ugh.
In a reputable place like St. Jude, and he comes in and says, this is where this money came from this...
Hoax
of
St. Jude should turn it down. We don't take money from all male reviews. So
we should call St. Jude's and complain that you're taking money from all male reviews.
John Gosselin. who wants to throw their 40th birthday party at an all male review? So he posts this on Facebook. You want to hear some of the replies?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
So far, there's only 135 likes. What do you think John could do a little better than that? Let's see. Good job, buddy. Those that know you are a very laid-back guy. Never stop being you. That's from Chris Good.
Oh, Jesus.
Hell y'all. I don't like to give my time or money to the media. It's best to hear from the persons themselves.
I don't even expect an explanation because most things aren't anyone's business. LOL. Happy birthday, John. And good for you helping out St. Jude's. LOL. Why is she laughing out loud?
I don't know. There was nothing funny in there.
I don't even most things aren't anyone's business. That's her LOL. Katie Rudnick. I think that was great. A zinger to the media.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
just believe everything you hear, you idiot.
This dope Devin Klotz. This just blew my mind. It was the best April Fool's Day joke ever.
Oh, God.
Wow. Well, that blew your mind?
Yeah. Sounds like your mind is easily blown, dude.
Well said, John. Hope to see you next time at your Cheers Tavern. Okay. Heather Anderson. LOL. I love this. Seriously? 2 exclamation points.
Which just went into it laughing out loud.
Yeah. LOL. 3 exclamation points. I love this. Seriously? 2 exclamation points. You are awesome. While you are awesome. Happy 40th. Smiley face emoji.
Oh, God.
Peggy. It was a great show and a great way to celebrate the big 4-0. Congratulations, John. I bet you he's hit on every chick on here, by the way. Shelly Green. Excellent job, John Gosselin. I hope your B-Day was a blast. Seashells from Instagram. Oh, she's probably sending him nudes all the time.
This is the frightening thing about this is I wonder, he probably gets laid.
Oh, yeah.
Being this idiot.
So I liked my
I
April
was on
Fool's.
TV for like 10 years.
Want to see my penis?
I'm pretty important. It's because I had 8 kids. Then I only wanted like 2.
Dude, you rocked it. Happy birthday. You rocked it.
Rocked nothing.
I have been a fan for years. Go, John.
A fan? A fan of what? What is he a fan of? His fertility?
In vitro.
Oh, my God. Be a fan of the fertility doctor, not him.
And then this guy just put, cool video, bro. Which is so facetious. Cool video, bro.
Yeah, there's a few jump cuts where John's at a different location when he starts talking again. Clever.
I think that's most of them. He's been scrutinized by the media most of his life, 10 years. But yet he's celebrating his 40th birthday. Math is off a little bit.
The media has been so horrible to him, but he got everyone back with one stunt.
Who's laughing now? LOL.
He fooled everyone. LOL. He took the media. The media took the bait, and John wins. Plus, he shut down the internet.
Oh, are there new reviews on Untamed because of Gosselin? And it's a bad one. Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
327. So this would have been before his thing. Oh, my gosh, this is long. I feel terrible for writing this because the dancers were actually really sweet guys, but this review is awful. I can't believe it has 5-star reviews. My friends and I were going to Atlantic City for a bachelorette party and planned to spend Saturday night at dusk. Dusk. Every time I hear names of clubs, I always think of Stefan from SNL. Atlantic City's hottest new club is Dusk. So we got ourselves on the guest list. We were contacted by someone at Dusk the night before.
Oh, they got in the guest list?
I know.
Oh, aren't you somebody? Ooh!
They asked us if we'd like free tickets to their male review taking place before the club opened. Of course, especially as a bachelorette party, we jumped at the chance. Although we were admittedly skeptical about the availability of free tickets on a Saturday night. Then a couple of minutes of the show starting, we knew why it was free. The entire thing seemed very new and disorganized. The stage was quite small. The dancing was off. There were pauses in the music when transitioning songs. What? how sexy can a male review actually be if the dancers don't wear anything less than boxer briefs? ! There are hardly any actual routines. I think there were 4 total and only 2 hot seat opportunities. What are hot seat opportunities?
Maybe that's where a chick is put in the hot seat.
Oh, and then they
people dangle their wangs at them.
And then John comes out and he rubs his erect penis on your thigh. One thing I'll say about this, though, is that it's meant that they just could spend more time out in the audience. Whatever.
How much time? How much time did this chick spend writing this review?
Has this chick ever been to a casino, too? The drinks were really bad. They hardly had any alcohol in them and pricey. My vodka seltzer was $11. Oh, boy. Well, good for you, honey.
Oh, pfft. Her too positive.
Yeah.
The dancers were nice guys. The other was that our bachelorette is pretty shy when it comes to this kind of stuff, but she felt comfortable going up on stage into the hot seat for a routine because of how tame the show was.
Oh, boring.
I don't think these outweigh the negatives by a long shot, but felt they were worth mentioning. I always try to be fair.
Well, then give it 2 stars. That sounds more like a 2-star review, honey.
Bottom line, if you can get tickets for free, it's something to do. What? If you, you have no sense of opportunity cost, honey? So you'll go for free to a shitty show? Oh, my God. What a lame attitude. I think it's ultimately still entertaining in some respects, but definitely not pay for the show. You'll be disappointed.
Oh, man. Oh
my God.
I wish people would just flood their Facebook page and bitch about Goffin.
Okay, how about Today in Rock for April the 3rd, which is opening day, by the way. Tigers at Chicago.
Yeah, JV.
Detroit opening day is Friday. 1964. Let's see. Oh, first brought to you by Dr. Roche. www.droche. Call for a consult today, 248-338-1110 for the offices of Dr. Roche. And 1964, with advanced sales of 2.1 million, the Beatles' Can't Buy Me Love sets a record that holds today for the most advanced orders for a UK single. And, of course, it's number one, the fourth straight Beatles song to be number one in the UK. Same day the Beach Boys were recording I Get Around, which would be their first number one in the U.S., summer 64. 1969, on April 3rd, Jim Morrison turned himself into the FBI for that lewd, lascivious behavior at a March 2 show in Miami where he supposedly brought his wiener out, unlike John Gosselin. Actually, he didn't bring it out either. That's what they say. The band always said he did not.
That's the media for you.
That's right.
They're always lying.
I wonder if Jim Morrison got the media back like John Gosselin did. That would be so cool.
The media have been all over.
Can you imagine Jim Morrison making a stupid video like Gosselin's?
Who's laughing now?
1971, The Temptations were number one for the second time with Just My Imagination. Stones have a ripping cover of that, by the way, from Some Girls. 1975, Steve Miller, the Joker, the smoker, the midnight toker, was charged with setting fire to a friend's clothes. It was actually a girlfriend. And then got in a fight with a few cops who responded. Of course, he's arrested.
Whoops.
Oh, boy. 1977, Fleetwood Mac's Rumors hit number one on the U.S. album charts. At one time, it sold more than any other album anywhere, but then the Saturday Night Fever thing came out, and then Michael Jackson, and all that good stuff, Thriller. 1983,
The Thriller. Do we both say it? The Thriller. Ooh. Do we both say it?
1983, U2 played on Top of the Pops after wrapping up their 29-day U.K. tour. They played their latest single, which was Two Hearts Beat as One. Boy, they had they really had a cool sound back then. I'm just thinking of that song, Two Hearts Beat as One. That big drumming kind of up-in-the-mix sound, which I don't really think they do much of anymore. 1990, Eric Clapton was fined £300 for driving 105 miles an hour, lost his license for 3 months to boot.
Clapton?
Clapton.
Have you seen him lately?
No.
Oh, boy.
What?
There's a shot of him in a wheelchair.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
You going to pull it up for him?
You know, he's been so sober for so long. I'm surprised he'd be falling apart all of a sudden.
He's only 72.
Well, he looked amazing for a long time. It was like, God, does Eric Clapton age anymore? Of course. Always looked young to me.
And there's all these rumors because he had canceled shows, which he claimed were for bronchitis. So.
And he's married to a girl that's like 13 or something.
Wait, 13?
Maybe she's 28 or 29. He's got little kids.
Yeah, he's just being wheeled in a wheelchair. Maybe he just has really bad bronchitis.
He's got a hood on, too. So he obviously doesn't want to be seen. It's not the most rocking photo I've seen of Eric Clapton.
Oh, man. I know. Can somebody just prop a guitar in his hands?
I know. Boy, that sucks.
Around.
He's also being wheeled around by some airport employee. Wait, Eric Clapton can't afford a private jet? That's the other thing that's kind of disturbing about this.
Yeah. Wait, why wouldn't he have a private jet?
I don't know. I mean, I just can't see him being wheeled to a commercial, being wheeled on a commercial plane.
Yeah, because then this happens.
Exactly.
At least when you're ill, you know what? Eric, get a private plane when you're ill.
You know, it's interesting. He's been dyeing his hair for a long time, and he's suddenly not dyeing his hair. And so he looks a lot older overnight.
Yeah.
Kind of a weird look.
Like frail.
Look how, if he's so sick, he's possibly pictured shaking hands.
Oh.
At the airport.
Eric.
As he's coughing into his hand?
Same day, Eric Clapton got that fine for driving 100 miles per hour. Was the day Nirvana, 1990, April 3rd. They were in Smart Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. There's a documentary about Smart Studios, by the way. It's been a lot of great music made there.
Butch Vig Studios?
Yeah, they were with Butch Vig recording demos for In Bloom, Lithium, Dive, Polly, and Sappy, some of which came out later. That was 1990. 1998, half of Milli Vanilli, Rob Paladus, was found dead in a Frankfurt hotel room, a lethal combo of drugs and booze in his system.
Tell the story.
Second or third try to commit suicide. The first time he tried, he called the L.A. Times news desk, and I think they told him to call back.
Yeah.
And so somebody called 911, and they got a hold of him, pumped his stomach, and he survived that one, but he didn't survive this one. 1999, Black Crowes played a Knoxville, Tennessee show, and Joshua Harmon, who was seated in the second row, would later sue for hearing loss from that show. He asked for $5,000. Didn't get it. 2001, Mariah Carey signed the biggest deal in recording history. Virgin would get three albums for $60 million. I don't think they got their money's worth. 2003, Edwin Starr died in the UK at the age of 61. He had the big Vietnam protest song, War, which was a big number one for him. And then 2007, Keith Richards denied snorting the ashes of his cremated father. He said he said it in jest, thinking no one would believe it. And then, of course, it got carried all over the place. And then finally, 2 years ago today, Bob Burns, Leonard Skinner's original drummer, died when his car struck a tree. So Leonard Skinner, boy, that band is certainly more than jinxed.
Hi, so this is Michael Jackson.
This is Vincent Price. Michael Jackson is...
The Thriller.
Ooh, how frightening.
Do we both say it?
Say it together.
Do we both
say it? I say inviting you to. All right, yeah.
His voice is weird, too.
Anytime, taste roll.
Hi, this is Michael Jackson.
And this is Vincent Price, inviting you to...
The Thriller.
They sound stupid together.
Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand.
I mean, he sounds silly. Jackson actually makes him sound cool.
Blood,
yeah,
to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down.
Yeah, I want to hear more. I want to hear more of Michael.
Shell. Sheer delight. It's you they spy. So plump, so right. For though the groove is hard to beat, yet still you stand with frozen feet. Yeah. You try to run, for evil reaches from the crypt to crush you in its icy grip. The foulest stench is in the air.
Wrap up your childish
the funk
poem.
Of 40,000 oozing in.
Who wrote this?
Your body starts to shiver.
Oh.
For no mere mortal can resist the evil of the Thriller.
Man, he's rock over his own voice.
Can you dig it?
So stupid. I swear, I personally think Thriller... sounds dated to me now.
The song itself or the album?
It's great.
A lot of it. I mean, I'll acknowledge it's a great album. It was really good. As far as it being the best album ever, I don't think so. Not even close. Not in my world. Ew. I'm sure some people are going, oh my God, Thriller's fantastic.
It's a good album.
Beat It.
It's a good song. It's a good song.
Okay. I just don't think it's... I don't know. It does not hold the allure for me that it did for so many.
Not like I'm gonna
That's just me.
Put on the album.
No, I couldn't tell you the last time I listened to Thriller. I mean, unless it was just thrust upon me.
Well, probably when Jackson died.
Yeah, Billie all that Jean, stuff.
Billie
was
Jean's a good
elevated.
Song. No,
it's okay. I don't know. It just didn't do that much for me. I'm not kidding. When I say this, I'm not joking. I like the Jackson 5 songs that they did better than any songs he ever did.
Huh.
Because I do. I love those songs. They're really infectious to me. I just think they're great, great songs. But he's got some songs on his own. I like Man in the Mirror.
That's a... Wait, the track listing on Thriller's pretty strong. Why don't we start in something? The Girl Is Mine. Someone with...
Paul McCartney.
McCartney. Beat It, Billie Jean, Human Nature. PYT.
PYT to me is just a dumb song. I don't... I laugh at it. That's just me.
Well, now, in retrospect, knowing what he's going to do.
No, I never thought it was a great song. PYT. What else is on there?
Well, actually, Thriller is probably the worst song on there. Baby Be Mine.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know that either. And The Lady in My Life. I don't know what that is.
All right.
Do we both say it?
Ridiculous. April is here, and you know what that means. It's time for baseball in the D and deals in the D. During the spring clearance event, you can lease a new Compass or Patriot for $129 a month or a new Dodge Journey or Caravan for $199 a month. If you want to get behind the wheel of a new Jeep, how about a Grand Cherokee for, wait, $249 a month or a new Jeep Wrangler Unlimited for $269 a month? Wow. DealsInTheD.com. They're all there and more. Get there and tell them that I should get the commission. I'm just reading the copy. Tom Drew should get the commission. I am very happy with Dot 4. They can do whatever. They should have every dime of commission. And God, people have been great about using them, and it's worked well. Everyone has been very happy with their service. I will say that if you're thinking about going there.
Someone else just posted a photo.
Of a new car?
On Facebook that they got at Zot.
Yeah. Really? Oh, that's great.
I'll have to find it to give him proper credit, as if that's what he really bought it for, is to get credit. On the podcast.
I'm glad people tell us, because then we know things are going well. It's always nice. And somebody just refinanced their home with Hall Financial. So it's great to know things are working. That everything is in order. Advertisers happy. It's the way we like it. And speaking of Hall Financial, mortgage rates and programs are constantly changing unless you're paying close attention. You could be missing out on an opportunity to save some money monthly. Reduced interest over the term of your loan. Maybe even buy your dream home. Hall Financial makes it easy to find out what your payment could be. Just go to our website, the Drew and Mike podcast page, drewandmikepodcast.com. Click on the Hall Financial logo. Fill out the online form. No obligation. Nobody's going to bother you. Just if this is what you want to do or you want to see how it can be done or whether it can be done, if you can save some money, again, just go to the podcast website, drewandmikepodcast.com. Click on the Hall Financial link and fill out the form. Or call 248-308-5000. Talk to somebody. Make sure you tell them we sent you. Restrictions apply. Michigan license. Broker, lender, NMLS 1467435. And then friends at the offices of Dr. Roche want you to come by, make a consult if you want breast augmentation or any of their other services. Or, you know, if you want to talk about HGH or Botox or any of the other things they do, the non-surgical items, they've got an office full of people trying to help create the best you can possibly be. Yeah, the turkey neck, that's always... Well, that's the new thing they're doing over there, which seems to be gaining in popularity. A lot of people, you know, it's weird. People that get Botox and stuff, and then they got that turkey neck.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a problem.
Yeah, you got to fix it.
Yep, do something. Do something about it now. Dr. Roche is the only triple board certified cosmetic surgeon in Michigan. Experience matters. He's got over 30 years of it. He's done more breast augmentations than anyone in the Midwest, specializing in more natural looking breasts. And boy, they do look good. He knows what he's doing. Call 248-338-1110. See how easy it is to bring out your very best features. 248-338-1110 or visit droche.com. And they're also looking for people for this low back pain research study. The appearances will not take much time. It's, I think, 15 to 20 minutes. You just go in. Involves multiple visits. And they are looking for people who had back pain for at least the last 3 months. So
I'm in pain all the time.
There is a light at the end of the tunnel, possibly. It's an experimental thing, but obviously they've got a lot of information that this is successful, and so you can be part of a test group. And no, it's not going to cost you money or anything like that. It's just a chance for you, hopefully, to get a solution to a problem. 3 months of back pain is a pain in the ass.
It's hurting me very badly.
If it's longer than that, that's okay, too. Call Dr. Roche, 248-338-1110, same number, or D-R-R-O-C-H-E for details. I'm being part of that back pain, low back pain research study.
I found that guy's post. It's Stephen Craig posted on the Facebook page for the Drew and Mike podcast. Listening to the podcast in our new Escape from Zot Ford, friendly staff and great pricing. also ran into another Drew Mike couple purchasing a car this morning.
No way.
Hashtag keep it stiff at Zot Ford.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
I like those escapes.
Yeah.
And then while looking for it, I saw this other post I hadn't seen. And I don't know how far back it goes, but Alex posted something to the podcast Facebook page as well. And it says, Drew! And it's a screen picture, a screen cap of somebody else's post yesterday at 8:24 p.m. I assume that was yesterday, as in Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
And it says, at an event for handicapped children, and who walks in? ? Are you kidding me? The place went silent. And it's a picture of Mayor Jim Fouts.
No, really? Oh, I bet he went apeshit when they took his picture. Well, if he'd known.
The place went silent if he's showing up to an event for handicapped children.
I
think he's a little insincere.
That's pretty interesting considering, what was the other thing? Oh, at his State of the City, him mentioning their new diversity director is this guy and how intelligent he is, this black man and how intelligent he is. Who are you? How stupid? Look how stupid he thinks people are.
Yeah.
I mean, well, hey, I'll just do an event for handicapped. That'll make people forget.
He's still in charge.
Oh, look at these events I'm doing for handicapped people. I didn't say that other stuff. That wasn't me. I'm the one doing stuff for handicapped people. And this Adobe system he's talking about, by the way, no one has any evidence of anyone ever doing this to screw someone. I've never even heard the system he's talking about. Have you looked it up, by the way?
You know, we were talking about it a little bit on Thursday, and Brandon had looked it up, and it was in a beta test in the fall.
Yeah.
So there's no way they would have gotten it, especially if it's as old as they act like it was, and then manufactured it. It's not true. This is what I hate about stories like this. Everybody knows it's bullshit.
Yeah, but there's certain people
throwing so much against the wall, and then you have to dispute it.
The problem is, you know, idiots like him, they're people who depend on him for their own job. So they want to believe him, so they say they believe him. But if you look past the political orientation of these supporters, you'll find that anyone who has any common sense and is not somehow subjectively involved in this, they'll say, of course it's him! Especially if you heard his fucking voice. Yeah. It's him! And this whole idea that, oh my God, people are just, they're putting out audio of people that aren't them all over the place. It's just commonplace. Bullshit. Absolute bullshit. I want him to explain how this is done and give us an example. Since it's so easy to do.
Well, you use bunk.
Adobe. What's it called again?
system.
I have no idea, except I will remind you of this, okay,
yes,
Germont? The tape was released by Mark Hackle one day after I filed a complaint with the Attorney General regarding the illegal
cover-up
of the... illegal dumping of the landfill at Freedom Hill.
There's six tapes,
and in my complaint, let me finish.
We're going to have a conversation.
Yeah, but in my complaint, I indicated the following. I said, number one, I said, I feel this is a cover-up of an illegal dumping, and I want the Attorney General to investigate this.
I thought it wasn't you.
And I said, there appears to be a cozy relationship with the county executive and someone else who he allowed to dump.
Let me go back a little bit here.
The city is great.
Right,
we have the strongest.
The state of the city.
I want to talk about the state of the city.
Right.
I already talked with. The interview was about the state of the city. That was it.
And I'm asking you questions about the state of the city.
No. The state of the city has nothing to do with the tapes.
No, okay? I'm asking about our survey. Click on Detroit.com.
Okay, but I understand.
Germont survey. Where we asked the people in Warren and online whether or not they think it was right.
Well, Germont, I don't care about the state of the city survey. What I care about is discussing my state of the city. With all due respect, Germont, I appreciate
that. Due respect, you're not letting him in.
No, that was not me on the tape. Well, that was a manufactured, engineered tape by, you can do it by Adobe software. You can do it by a number of things.
And no, not only you can't. That, only my Give me an example of someone else.
Yeah,
tape,
do it. Or just do it.
Come on, Germont.
Acts like it's so easy. Then just do it, Fouts.
Yeah, prove it. Because it's been proven that it is your voice. It's been put through voice analysis, proven technology, not this whatever the fuck you're talking about. You can't even pronounce it. You don't even know what you're talking about.
There's an email from Tony regarding that, and he said, that's an elderly person rushing through thought. My grandmother did it all the time. Sounds like he meant cellophane software, but he was so panicked his mouth spoke.
What's cellophane software,
as his brain rushed through the word.
Have you heard of cellophane software that changes someone's voice to a known voice?
No. No, it's something Fouts made up.
I can't believe he's being allowed to. Can't we at least all just say, yeah, we know it's him. Apparently, he's going to still be the mayor, but we know he said these things. And not Steeps keep saying that he says it's not him, because it's not. It is him, and we know that. Jesus Christ. This idea that it's controversial, or we don't know who it is. It might be. It's him. Come on. Stop it. Stop pretending. These media people who keep referring to the fact that he says it's not him. And that we really unsure. No, we know.
This is Vail the tech he has on his Facebook today from a few hours ago. I also appreciate the fairness of almost all media except one in reporting my State of the City speech. Channel 2 and 7 were fair, as was the Detroit Free Press News, Macomb Daily, and Warren Weekly.
Well, if he says they're fair, that means they did a horseshit job reporting on it.
I believe radio was fair as well. Lots of great news.
What about podcasts? I thought we covered pretty fairly.
He's so full of shit.
Does he have like a full-scale investigation going on to get to the bottom of who actually made it then?
No, he won't take a polygraph. He will not take a polygraph.
If it's slander, you know, against him, you think he'd be investigating it?
Well, there's six different sources of audio. It's not just the Mark Hackle tape. There's multiple tapes.
And a witness.
I know. It's just so annoying to even talk about. And not to mention the fact that this thing does not grab nationally is just mind-boggling. Oh, boy. Anyway, I mentioned I picked up this Inside New Order book by Peter Hook, who's the founding member of Joy Division and also New Order. And, you know, they had quite a career. Actually, they're still going. They play quite a bit still to this day. These guys are in their 60s, still out there cranking. But I just kind of opened up the book and started reading stuff just to find out what sort of book it was. Mm-hmm. And there's some really funny stuff. I mean, just literally throwing it open and just almost anywhere in the book, for example, we were gigging everywhere we could in England and outside. This is in the early 80s, and embarked on our first German tour, putting the lessons we learned in America to good use.
Like, so this is post Ian Curtis's suicide?
Yeah, this is after Joy Division. They're already New Order. Okay. It might be 83, 84, actually. Let's see. At first, it seemed we were doomed to remain friends with them, these lovely girls they met after the gig. They didn't speak much English, but they were very cute. We retired to a room for a good night drink. I was happily chatting as best I could on the bed with mine, and another was at the foot of the bed with his. I was resigning myself to an early night alone when he suddenly announces loudly he's going for a piss in the end suite. I did have a feeling it was some kind of signal, but I wasn't sure. So the remaining three of us carried on in our broken English, when all of a sudden the toilet door burst open and a totally nude man jumped over our heads with gay abandon. Not meaning gay as in sexually happy. Gay, but happy. Landing on the poor girl sitting on the floor.
Oh.
I grabbed my shocked bell and we retreated to the toilet, where after an uncomfortable coupling on the tiles, we lay on the floor waiting for the grunting next door to stop. Afterwards, I took the girls out and they went home. Trouble was, they were none too happy when we decided to, shall we say, move on. New Order's next gig was in Frankfurt, and the girls turned up at soundcheck. It was nice to see them.
Oh, clingers. Clingers.
It was nice to see them, but my mate would have nothing to do with them, blanking them completely. It was quite embarrassing, and his girly was really getting upset. I made my apologies and got ready for the gig. So later, there we were, playing our little hearts out on stage, Barney as detached as ever, lead singer, and me keeping my watchful eye out on the crowd, when suddenly I spied the same two girls marching through the audience right to the lip at the front of the stage. Uh-oh. They're holding out a piece of paper. Barney, oblivious as ever, was off in his own little world of Penrod-induced self-medication. The fact that they were being ignored only made them angrier, and they started shouting and gesticulating. The whole sorry scene was beginning to seriously cramp my style on stage. I ambled over, grabbed the note, and said, "Please stop. We're trying to play a concert here." Which having...
How polite.
Which, having delivered their missive, is exactly what they did. At the end of the gig, I unfolded a note. It read, "You two are a pair of English bastards."
Oh, wow, you really got them, honey.
I couldn't disagree with that. They were exactly right. Thing is, we were right. Love them and leave them lot. Our roadies are very much in the habit of passing themselves off as members of the band, too. The amount of times I discover some girl trying to kick in a hotel room screaming, "You're a bastard, Barry Summer!" Or just, you know, in the roadie's door.
Yeah.
Or just standing there... clutching their empty purse and bawling their eyes out. I quickly lost count of the occasions I had to give one of their cast-offs or cast-outs money for a taxi home. I never got it back. best woman's of time in America in some hotel where I could hear one of the roadies through the wall singing an a cappella Blue Monday. What was that about? I asked him the next day at breakfast. Oh, bloody hell, he said, shamefaced. I got her stripped off on the bed and was just about to dive in when she put her hands between her legs, clamped them tight shut, and said she wouldn't until I sang to her. In the end, I had to.
Wow. Well, oh, that's what it takes.
Bad boy.
He acts so put out by it. God, the way he writes is unique.
Yeah, it's all very conversational.
He sounds like Eugene from Walking Dead, the guy with the mullet.
Oh.
Just a lot of extra words.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Okay, let's see.
Moving along. I like it. It's just different.
Yeah, it's very funny, generally speaking. I mean, he's got a great sense of humor. So anyway, they're in Hong Kong, and at our first gig on the tour, we met up with Jillian's cousin. Jillian's the female member of the band. A young squatty stationed in Hong Kong, loud and brash, this guy was the complete opposite of Jillian. He and his mates made up half our audience, and his mates spent the entire evening sniffing dried lizard brains, so it looked like a leery night was guaranteed for all. At the gig, I met an English girl, a part-time music journalist who worked and lived at the British Embassy. She was lovely and accompanied us on a tour of Hong Kong's seedier clubs where we got very drunk. Later, she asked if I'd take her home. I will as long as I get a Ferrero Rocher, I said, which is a kind of chocolate. I have to look up stuff about every page.
What an odd demand.
I know. He was just kidding around. But I swear.
I would hope so.
But I'm not kidding. You have to look something up on every page. There's something so slang, so English, or just a weird reference. She laughingly agreed, so we sneaked away from the rest and got a cab. And then he, some foreign language, he's indicating what she said to the driver, which I hope translated to, take us to the British Embassy, driver, and don't spare the horses. This guy is an absolute Adonis. Hurry! I had no idea what she really said, but off we sped. As we wound up the hills, it was a beautiful warm night, and the view was amazing. So things swiftly became very romantic in the back when we shuddered to a bumpy halt. The driver got out, leaving us alone in the cab, which seemed like too good an opportunity to miss. Before long, we were, well, what can I say? We were at it. Unfortunately, just as we were reaching a climax, the driver started banging on the window and screaming in Cantonese, which sounded like you dirty.
Did he actually write that?
Well, I could show you what he wrote. It's a bunch of figures.
Oh, and again,
figures.
Bunch of squiggly lines?
Yes. Which sounded like, you dirty English fuckers, car's going to fall off jack. It turned out we had a puncture, and he just got the car jacked up and ready for the spare, and we started rocking it violently. I gave him a big tip. Get some Finlac, mate. That's the
Finlac?
The thing you, it's the little spray can to fill up spares, or to fill up,
fix a flat.
Oh, okay.
Fix a flat. Yeah. That'll sort you out, I shouted as he roared off. She offered to show me the sights of Hong Kong the next day, and I was more than happy to accept. The band had 2 days off before making our way to Japan. What better way to spend it? Until I remembered a prior commitment. Oh, bullocks, I can't. We're supposed to be spending the day with a promoter in China. He's taking us to some beautiful seaside resort he reckons is the Dog's Bullocks. Wang Chao or something. Ooh, she said. Now, when the promoter had proposed this, we'd all thought, yeah, why not? Sounds interesting. But by now, we're having such a great time in Hong Kong, we're collectively wishing we could stay put. But, you know, it seemed like it was too rude to refuse. So, anyway, he describes this horrible ride through these horrible roads, going from Hong Kong to what's basically a third world country. And by the time they get there, the seaside resort, it's this absolute
dump,
a total dump. And he tells them, if we're going to eat dinner, we better get it before they turn the lights out. They turn the power out for the entire city at like 10 p.m. So they eat at this horrible restaurant.
Sounds terrible.
And the lights go out. And then people are just falling everywhere trying to get on the bus with no light, complete darkness. And then also, the next day, when they go for breakfast, they say, can we go somewhere where they have rice? Because the meal was just horrible. They said, best restaurant in town. And
the meal's so bad, they're looking for something like rice.
Yeah.
Something that plain and boring and...
And something that they wouldn't have to wonder what they were eating.
Give them diarrhea.
So they go to this place and they ask him if they wanted to pick a dog.
Oh, yum.
There were animals in front in cages.
Yeah.
And
well, it's like picking a lobster out. Same thing.
That's the way they looked at it.
Could you imagine that?
I know. Oh, it's so bad.
Oh, God. I was watching a story, Outside the Lines had a story on Jimmer Fredette. Remember Jimmer Fredette?
Yeah, Jimmer, sure.
Played at BYU and now he's just dominating in China.
Uh-huh.
But the story's basically about that and how he's really immersed himself in Chinese culture. And one of the ways he's done it is through food. And I can't remember who was interviewing him, but they're like, is there anything you won't eat? And he said, I don't think I'll go for the boiled bullfrog. Like, could you imagine?
Boiled bullfrog.
Eating a boiled bullfrog? Ugh. How disgusting.
I know. I'm sure people think stuff we eat is disgusting, too.
Like what?
I don't know. Something.
I can't think of anything that is a staple in the American diet that would anybody else would find disgusting. Unless you're an Indian, you don't like, you know, you like cows that much.
Boiled bullfrog would not
sounds
be
gross.
My idea of something good. But anyway, they end up going to best hotel in town, best hotel in town. And, of course, it's this piece of shit hotel with damp mattresses.
Oh!
And mosquito nets that you're supposed to put up to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And he said, I guess he was the only one that used the net. And he said, we had a terrible night's sleep. During the night, they held the Chinese National Indoor Door Slamming Competition to make sure no one got a wink of sleep. Every time you dropped off, the sound of doors would jerk you awake again. In the morning, we pulled ourselves up from our damp beds. Shall we go and get some breakfast then? Yeah, you go ahead, said Dave from the other bed, sounding very sorry for himself. I think I've been bitten. I got to look at him. He wasn't kidding. Overnight, he'd been transformed into the Elephant Man with lumps all over his face, all over his body. We started counting the bites and gave up at 57. Meanwhile, Slim had been bitten too, about 15. Me, I was all right. I'd used the mosquito net. We met up with the rest, a whole lot of us, praying for a decent breakfast. And then, let's see what happened in this lovely story. Oh, they ate some dog meat by accident.
How did they know they did?
Well, there was meat dog in the meal, and they asked what the meat was.
Oh, they just told them.
Oh, common meat, common meat. I said, yeah, which common meat? Was it beef? No, no, no. Was it lamb? No. Well, what was it? It's dog. Jillian threw up right there and then right next to the table. The rest of us headed toward the exit as quickly as we could, pale-faced, cheeks blowing out as we clambered back on the bus, dragging the promoter along with us. Hong Kong, Pedro, now. Excellent. We get back to Hong Kong, I take you for monkey brains, too. So anyway, yeah, this debacle. And he could have banged this chick again too. That was what he was really upset about.
Can you imagine, just say you're running a little restaurant, wherever it is, and someone asks you what's in the meal and you tell them, and then they immediately
someone
vomit
throws up
next to the table. Wouldn't you go, maybe I shouldn't serve that common meat.
He says these Japanese girls were constantly handing them cards, you know, because they're wearing leather pants and stuff. Hey, they're obviously very Western.
Sexy.
They're handing out business cards saying things like, you know, satisfaction guaranteed to all traveling musicians, multi-orgasm to your pleasure. They literally hand out cards.
Well, that's a step up from
whores.
Me so horny, me love you long time.
That's true.
Sucky, sucky.
Yeah, sucky, sucky. That was the first card. there's a great little story about, let's see, where is it? Yeah, it seems girls usually end up in the funny stories. Where did I get lost here? Oh, here we go. The touring came fast and thick back in America that August, and life was great again. In Oakland, one of the roadies counted how many girls we had in our huge dressing room, gave up at 200.
Wow.
I met some amazing girls, teachers, ballet dancers, blonde twins, oh my God, and a gorgeous girl who gave up modeling career. By this time, we were getting so many girls, I just decided to go for the prettiest in every dressing room. With the allure of being in a successful group, I was suddenly in their league. My first question was usually, do you come from around here? And then the classic,
C-U-M.
What do you do for a job? Pretty standard fare. One girl replied, I make engine seaters. Huh? I make machine dreaders. I lean closer. What?
I use Adobe, some of my own.
She was getting exasperated. Too much rock and roll had wrecked my ears. Thank God her friend took pity on me, saying loudly, she makes mockingbird feeders, you know, for in cages. When I took her home.
Like, why would you ever think that's what someone was saying?
When I took her home, she did indeed have a mockingbird, complete with feeder. In the morning, she left for work saying, you know where you're going, yeah? Yeah, me and an intrepid traveler. I've been everywhere. Don't worry about me. Later, I showered and left. As the front door slammed shut behind me, I gulped. I was in the middle of suburban Denver with houses stretching for miles and miles. It took me 3 hours to find a diner. When I walked in dressed in leather pants and biker boots, I swear I had the same effect a little green man would have. I finally got a cab. That's good. Reaching the hotel in time to meet one of our roadies coming up. Turned out he'd spent the night with a mate of the girl who made mockingbird feeders, and he looked like he'd been assaulted by a mountain lion, covered in scratches and bites all over. What the fuck? She was wild, he said, looking very pleased with himself. What are you going to do when you get home? He hadn't thought of that. Reality hit him. We were going home in just over a week, and he was ripped to ribbons. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? We were laughing like we normally did. You daft bastard. He was married. So, of course, a little concerned. Then he had a light bulb moment. I know what I'll do. I'll start a fight to cover it up. Man. And then he describes it.
Yeah, because most fights you get scratched, presumably on his back.
Well,
I would think
sounds
that's
like
where
he got bites and scratches. He's all over the place. Then he describes the guy, just this roadie, was in a fight with his promoter. They were at each other's throats since they started the tour. So anyway, he does kind of push this thing to the next level, and they get in this knockdown brawl. And it ended up being a great fight. They were just fighting forever. And in the end, they were both very proud of the fight. And he said even the promoter always asks. He was proud to have taken – he said he was quite chuffed to have taken part in it. For years afterwards, he'd say to me, hey, remember that massive fight I had with your guy? Tell him I said hello. And then over the course of the tour, he noticed we weren't getting a great reaction from the front rows. It was unusual for America, and we were scratching our heads about it. The people at the back were into it. Same with the sides. What's this front row business? Then Terry Mason sussed it. It's their guest list. They're all too cool for school. We investigated. It turned out to be true. The venues were taking 500 tickets right at the front just for all the spoilt bastards to basically ignore you. And, I mean, that's true to this day,
yeah.
Unfortunately. Pathetic. There's one more little thing, man. I just got to find it. Where is that little story? Sad story about somebody's sister.
Ooh.
Oh, yes. Here we go. He has a little story, too, about their big room service bills. And this is another one in...
What percentage of the food do you think they actually ate?
Well, that's the funny thing. They didn't think they were... They were just charging beers at the bar. And what was the other thing? They said they only had two things, and it was beers at the bar and some kind of... were they rolls or something? Spring rolls. Spring rolls. You know, how much can a spring roll cost?
$2.
So they were
then
there.
Probably a buck.
They were there 2 days, and five of them ran up a $10,000 room service bill. He said they were drinking a lot of beer, but, you know, $10,000, it was clearly a record. And they, you know, they were in Japan, so it's funny when he's checking out. He's waiting for the manager to come down. He said, can you go down and get the bill for me? So he was grabbing the bill for him, and he said they kept calling new people into the room, you know, new supervisors and higher supervisors and higher supervisors, and they're all bowing like crazy. He knows something's terribly wrong, and it turns out the room service bill is $10,000 for 2 days, so it was a bit of a problem. But after Japan, we moved on to Australia and New Zealand. So coincide with the creation of Factory Australia, with Low Life being the inaugural release. Blah, blah, blah. We moved on to Auckland, where we met a lovely young lady. She took us for a meal before disappearing into the night with one of our entourage. It was a day off the next day and did nothing but rain. It poured down. We're stuck in the motel in the middle of nowhere. In the evening, a few of us ventured out for a beer, and who should we bump into almost straight away? The lovely lady from the night before. I made a beeline for her, and we got on famously and ended up spending the night together. In the morning, she dropped me off at the motel. I'm off now with your friend, she told me. I promised to show him the sights. The guy from the night before.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, he's going to be delighted. Later, Rob had a meeting with one of the local crew and couldn't resist telling him, bloody hell, you know that bird? She's been through two of our lads already. One of them had her the first night, and then she met with Hookie, and now she's back with the first lad. She's fucking mad for it. The guy said, that's my fucking sister, you bastards, and stormed off.
Well, it's a compliment.
Rob said it was the single most embarrassing moment of his life, of which there were many. Luckily, the gig went well with no sign of the guy or her his sister. That's too bad. One morning, I went for a crap and saw blood in it.
Thinking,
oh, my God, I must be dying, until gradually it dawned on me that everybody else in our coach was as subdued and thoughtful as I was. A few minutes into the journey, Eddie blurts out, I think I might be dying. What? We all said. Well, I went for a crap this morning. There was loads of blood in it. Yeah, I had blood in mine, too. Anyway,
there'd be a little bit of relief after you hear that from both sides.
Yeah, everybody's dying. What?
Oh, okay.
I mean, at least you're going to have company.
Yeah.
Anyway, the promoter was on board the bus seeing us off. He turned slowly around to this bunch of ashen-faced people, all thinking they were dying, and said flatly, it was the beetroot you had last night for dinner, you daft bastards. This is like, honestly, I read like 20 pages. And it's
really
just,
good.
Yeah, it's really funny. I mean, it's just really stupid, insipid stuff.
Does he write about, I mean, does he get serious and write about Ian Curtis?
I haven't even treasured, or I haven't even ventured into that part of the book. I just sort of went in the middle just to sort of get the rhythm of the book.
Yeah.
And I want to go back and read about it. Because I love Joy Division. I thought they were great.
Meanwhile, Jay's been handing me pictures of E.J. Johnson.
What's EJ up to?
I guess Jay's just Googling EJ Johnson like crazy.
Let me guess, is he dressing effeminately?
Here he is at the GLAAD Media Awards. The GLAAD Media Awards were this weekend.
Oh.
Their version of the Golden Globes. Think about TV.
There was some
movie,
reason
music.
I There's had EJ. An interest in the GLAAD
Because Paris Jackson was there?
Yeah, with Bruce Jenner. I mean, not Bruce Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
But that's funny you said, because I saw that story too. But then every.
EJ's dressed like. Is he. Like about to be in a Star Trek movie
he
or something?
He looks like General Zod from Superman. I mean, the outfit, not him.
Yes, yes.
Will you pull up a picture of General Zod, Jay? Doesn't he look like General Zod's outfit?
And there's, you know,
the movie, the old Superman movie.
He's with Cookie, his mother, you know, Magic's wife, yeah. Who he just put through hell.
And he looks more effeminate.
Yeah, he does. He looks more effeminate than she does.
He has more eyeliner on.
By far. Not even close.
Zod's outfit.
No, you're definitely onto something
from
there.
From the old movie, the Christopher Reeve one. Like,
yeah.
Right there.
No, I mean, I just can't imagine. How would people respond if I was wearing this tomorrow?
If you were wearing
yeah,
it?
Yeah, if I was wearing that. I mean, I'd never live it down.
They'd go, wow, he looks like he got the General Zod makeover. And then, for some reason, Jay handed me another picture of EJ wearing thigh-high boots and a daring mini dress.
Yeah, he loves mini skirts.
Daring mini dress. I think the fact that he's wearing any mini dress would be daring. But look at those little sexy long legs on Magic's kid there.
Oh, yeah, with the thigh-high boots to boot. I don't understand. Is he a trans...
No.
What's it when you just dress like a female? That's called...
Oh, a cross-dresser?
Cross-dresser, yeah. Is he just a cross-dresser?
Like RuPaul is?
Well, he loves women's clothes. He wears... Yeah. Doesn't he wear women's clothes? I mean, I'm not making
very
fun of him. I'm just
saying. Very fashionable. He likes wearing daring miniskirts.
But he doesn't wear pants and t-shirts and button-down shirts like men do. He wears women's clothes primarily when I see him. He's always wearing a skirt.
Yeah, sure.
Or, you know, a top.
But it's not like he's a drag queen. You know, he's not flamboyant. I mean, he's flamboyant, but he's not.
No, he's
like
a stylish female.
Yeah. So,
I think I was captured that there wasn't big sweat stains in this round of pictures. Usually, remember all the sweat piles? Yeah.
Works up a sweat, definitely.
It's weird, too, because he's so tall.
I just have to believe that Magic does not. When he comes down in these clothes, I just don't think Magic likes it. I don't care what he's wearing. I don't think
Magic
is
a daughter. Correct. I think he's got one daughter, too.
He has the son that he introduced to Cookie when the son was three.
Yeah.
But he surprised her. Hey, this is my three-year-old, Cookie.
like he just got it.
They just determined it was his kid.
I think he has a daughter, too, because I thought I saw a story, and I kind of blew through it, where it's Magic Johnson says, daughter not allowed to date Dodger players.
Is it Elisa?
And all I can think of is, well, what about EJ? Is EJ allowed to date Dodger players?
My God.
I think he totally just pretends EJ doesn't exist. And Cookie kind of said that in the book. He took him a while to get over it.
Oh, yeah. No, he was very angry. And then I think he regretted it, or so she said. I don't think he even was quoted about the subject. I don't think he said a word about it. It was all what Cookie said.
Is this more pictures of EJ?
No.
Oh.
Oh, brother. Hey, there was a great story. People magazine. First of all, the cover is Richard Simmons.
Oh.
And.
What's he look like? Which version?
You know, I'm sure it's an old picture. I don't think this is anything new. That's looks like Richard
really
Simmons
old
from
picture.
10 years ago, maybe. Maybe 20 years ago. And, I don't know, this Richard Simmons story, you know, I read through the whole thing, and it's basically, we've heard it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing, there's nothing new coming out there, except that, you know, his brother is reassuring that, I talk to him every week, like I always did. He seems happy. You know, they talk to all the usual types, his agent, his manager. You know, what are they going to say? Are they going to say, yeah, Richard's terribly depressed. You know, he just can't seem to show his face in public. he's just not feeling well, or, you know, whatever it might be, whatever it might really be.
Well, it really blew up because of the podcast, which I feel a little bit taken by the podcast, but at the same time, it was just kind of entertaining. So
you know what, though? I thought the podcast was well done. I thought
it was entertaining.
I believe. Just the point. I don't think any of it was really out of left field either. The people they talked to were people who were close to him, and they all had relationships that ended on that day in 2014. So I think they all had something good to say, or something good to say in terms of pushing the story forward. What I didn't know was that last June, maybe I did know this and I just forgot, the maid, Teresa, called 911 to report that Simmons was exhibiting bizarre behavior.
He was
hospitalized subsequently for what was called dehydration.
Fake.
You're
That's
not
an
kidding.
Interesting line. What is bizarre behavior for Richard Simmons?
I don't know. I mean,
at what point? Not yet. Oh, that's a little bizarre.
Do you remember hearing about that 911 call from his house? I don't either.
Have they played it?
I've never heard it. I just heard of it. You want to see if it's out there? There's not something made public? I mean, I would think somebody would have gathered that thing up.
I didn't know that the podcast guy, Dan,
his
name. Did you know he left a boombox outside Richard's house?
Oh, with the message on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on one of the podcasts.
The very last one, but like the...
the John Cusack in...
Say Anything.
Yeah, Say Anything. Ridiculous. But Richard didn't listen to it.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Well, but in the last podcast also, his manager admitted that Richard knows about it, has heard some of the podcast, and it's pained him even greater. Which, according to Dan, is why they stopped doing it, which I don't know if I believe that.
This one here says the 911 call when he's rushed to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
I see.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Hearing the 911 call placed the day Richard Simmons was rushed to the hospital.
What is the address of the emergency?
Go ahead, sir.
An unidentified caller alerts authorities to the emergency at Simmons Hollywood Hills home.
And what is the emergency there?
Most of the call has been blocked to protect Simmons' privacy.
What?
The 911
operator. Wait, since when do they block a 911 call?
Just haven't been in a position to comfort. Don't give him anything to eat or drink.
Simmons insisted he was just dehydrated, but published reports say
get some water. Don't go to
bizarre
hospital.
Bizarre behavior.
If anything gets worse, just give us a call back one way, okay?
Oh, that's nothing. Awful. What do you mean it's blocked? What's that all about? I never heard of a 911 call being blocked.
Never.
Who is he?
No, they for grotesque murders, and the 911 calls for those.
I don't know. I just find this whole story to be very unsatisfying. I don't understand why someone like him, he's got relationships with so many people that just were cut off, just ended right there. People that want to recede into the background, they tend to do it very gradually, or there's certain parts of their lives that maybe become less pronounced, but to just disappear from everyone's life on this one day. And, they said that when he went to Slimmons that day, saying the word Slimmons, I feel weird just even saying it. It just sounds so stupid.
That is a great name for that place.
Yeah, it's perfect. I mean, it's almost like he changed his name to Simmons because he eventually knew he was going to open up Slimmons. But they said he was very odd that day, and he was kind of shaky and upset. And one point on that day, I think they said that they sort of got the whole group surrounded him and said, "Richard, is something wrong?" And he said, "No." Let me see what exactly they said about that. Ava Minette, a regular client at Slimmons, who attended the class, recalls the hyperkinetic exercise guru seemed uncharacteristically tired and distracted that day. His energy was different, like he wasn't physically present in the room with us. A group of concerned regulars crowded around him, gently inquiring, "Are you okay?" "Everything is fine," he assured them, but Minette didn't buy it. "You know when you just know something isn't right?" "I knew." And Simmons kissed and hugged everyone, a woman said. "Will we see you next Saturday, Richard?" He smiled and told them what he knew they wanted to hear. "Yes, girls." But it would be the last class ever taught at Slimmons. So, I mean, that's strange. I don't know. I just don't. The other thing that bothers me about all the explanations is he doesn't come out. He doesn't, you know, if he went on 2020 or he, well, he showed up in New York on the Good Morning America set or somewhere, you know, or one of the network news shows went to the house and showed him talking, but it's all phone calls.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell us.
He must just look awful.
Yeah, they
That's all anybody can say.
They say he still works out. I don't know.
But didn't they talk to the police officer that did the last welfare check and said, no, he looks totally the same. He looks totally just like Richard.
Yeah, he indicates things are okay, but I don't know what the cops are. You know, it's strange with police sometimes, too. You know, that wellness call on Shelley Miscavige. It turned out the cop that was sent to see her was a Scientologist. What's he going to say?
You think Teresa has her tentacles into the LAPD?
Maybe. Maybe.
You never know. She's got a lot of money.
A powerful housekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, and that whole thing is very weird. I mean, her telling the one guy that goes there, his boyfriend or whatever he was, his mate, his partner for all those years, and all of a sudden he's cut off too, like everyone else. And then he shows up, and Richard says, he says, let's go upstairs and talk it out. And Richard says, okay, I'm going upstairs with, what's his name?
Dan?
Mumo or something?
Oh, that guy, yeah. I forgot.
The masseuse?
The masseuse.
No, he must leave immediately.
Get him out of here.
Yeah, and then Richard says, yep, I guess you got to go. Says, well, is she running your life? Yes.
Yeah, so beat it.
And he said, I don't know, seems preposterous. Anyway, the other thing that was in People that was interesting is it sounds like they're actually close to possibly making a couple of arrests in this Florida murder of this Florida State.
Was the doctor whose brother?
He's a criminal. Oh, go ahead. He's a professor at Florida State, and
yeah, he just got a divorce.
Yeah, and he had two kids, and his wife wanted to move the kids to South Florida where her parents live, and suddenly he's murdered just out of nowhere. Like this guy, there's nothing that would indicate he was in any kind of danger.
And they suspect her, the ex's brother.
Exactly, they suspect that.
I thought the ex's
boyfriend also may be connected to this. And they do actually find these two guys who rented this Prius and drove straight from Miami to this guy's house and killed him as he drove in the garage.
Now, the weird thing I thought about this is the connection between the two. They described them as gangsters that did the murder,
mm-hmm.
these two murderers. The connection them to the family, the ex's family,
yeah,
is one of the guys' girlfriend dated the brother.
Right.
But the brother is he's a doctor or a lawyer.
He's a dentist.
Oh, he's a dentist. Okay, yeah, but he's a professional. I thought it was weird that this gangster murderer and this dentist would have had the same girlfriend.
It's very weird.
You just don't see people like that crossing the same paths, but obviously it happens.
So it sounded so obvious when they originally did this story on 2020 or Dateline or wherever it was, and they still had no arrest, but it seemed like they've got to be. This seems so obvious to me. They just can't quite make enough connections. There's just not quite enough.
Didn't they get the mom?
They did. They approached the mom with an envelope and said.
And they lied.
They lied, yeah. They said.
It was genius.
We need more money, or we need a little more money, or something like that. And she didn't act surprised enough. She didn't say
what for. She's like, well, you have to call someone. You have to call the lawyer.
Yeah, so
like she knew who they were talking about.
Yeah, she wasn't completely thrown by it, which you'd think she would be if she knew nothing about it. She said, "What are you talking about, you weirdo?
What are you talking about?
You're alone."
What are you talking about?
So anyway, they still haven't arrested anyone though. I mean, that's to me. I thought this thing was going to happen.
They arrested the murderers.
Murderers. Okay. Yeah, the two guys that were in the car.
I thought the girlfriend was going to flip.
I guess she's still out there.
Huh.
But, you know, the thing about her is she suddenly started spending money like a banshee.
Duh!
I know. Isn't that funny? It's like, haven't you seen Goodfellas?
Yeah,
don't buy
Murray.
Anything expensive right away. Yeah, Murray, return the
get rid of the Cadillac, Murray.
Yeah, and the mink coat. You idiots. What are you thinking about?
God. It's so funny when you watch all this true crime stuff. And then you see these stories like, well, how do you do that? It's obvious. You never do. You know, you never ransack a place, don't steal anything, and leave all the drawers
and
open.
You don't search, you know, how to murder your ex-girlfriend, or you don't search You don't chloroform somebody and search on how to chloroform somebody beforehand.
Oh, speaking of searches, that was the new. That was one of the new updates on Tad Cummins.
Oh, Tad. I haven't heard anything about Tad in 3 days.
Well, you know, there's the video of Tad, right?
The one of him. Wait.
There's a new video of Tad and his wife.
Oh, I didn't know there was a new video. Oh, yeah. Seen it.
It's from 2 days after.
Wait, his 15-year-old wife?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When I say wife, I mean her.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Because the legal wife has filed for divorce.
Oh,
the
she
one
has?
Who asked him to come back. Yeah, she filed
for
divorce.
Oh, my God.
So his.
She said she'd accept him back no matter what.
Well, she lied. Just like he lied.
Oh, what a lying couple they are.
So his 15-year-old wife and him were spotted at Walmart.
She's got red hair?
And yep, and her hair's cut. She has dyed hair. And this Walmart is in Oklahoma, Oklahoma City outside there, maybe?
She's
I don't know, somewhere in Oklahoma.
Long, an awfully long flannel shirt. Must be his flannel shirt she's wearing.
It's his shirt that he was spotted wearing the day before they left, which all I can think of is, that shirt probably stinks.
Yeah, shirt of skank, no doubt.
They paid for everything in cash while they were there.
Yeah, of course.
But the serious issue Shell thought in my mind is, remember somebody said how much he loves his goatee?
Oh, yeah.
Instead of shaving his goatee off to change his appearance, he just dyed it.
Yep. No doubt about it.
Wouldn't you?
He loves his goatee.
Wouldn't you shave it off if you're trying to change
your
look? Of
course. No, he's in love with his fucking goatee. He is.
I can't.
For real.
This is Tad Cummins. Anybody will know it's me without my sweet goatee.
And he also has his stupid bangs. Looks like he cut his hair really badly, but he kept those dumb bangs he has.
The other thing that was revealed about him is one of his other internet searches was, can a mattress fit inside a Nissan Rogue? He's going to sleep in the car.
How many answers are there to that?
Oh, I'm going to Google it.
Can you please Google that and find out? Did some... I mean, if someone actually knows that, I'm kind of surprised.
Who's in love more, him and his goatee or Anthony Thomas, her dad, and his hair?
Oh, the A-Train?
That's a tough call.
He no longer has spiky hair. The last interview I saw with him was very flat. He's given up the will to do his hair.
I think he looked too energized and too into his hair. I think it was a imaging thing. Somebody said, you know, the hair, it looks like you spent hours on it this morning. Like you're in love with your fucking spiky hair. Would you just let your hair down and act like a grieving dad?
Wow, there's a lot of can you fit it type answers.
I bet.
Actually, there's a website, canyoufitit.com.
Is there an answer to the mattress in a Nissan?
Not directly.
I knew there wouldn't be. What a dumb search.
Oh, canyoufitit.com. This is kind of fun. Can I fit a blank into a blank? Let's see, mattress.
Yep, there's Mr. Spiky Hair.
Let's see, maybe a twin mattress.
He does love that hair.
Yeah.
It does look less spiky there. Yeah.
I tell you, the last time
Is
I saw
it flat on his head?
Last time I saw it, he did not have spiky hair.
I just don't think he's been to the drugstore to get, you know, the mousse he needs or whatever. He ran out of mousse.
He's given up the will to do his hair.
Yeah, maybe he has.
Daughter's missing.
I know, and she's with this tool.
But that's interesting, though, that they went that away. A lot of people thought they went down to Florida or New Mexico, but instead they went due west.
Where were they? Where's this Walmart?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma City.
So he fooled the shit out of everybody.
What a mastermind.
I know.
He dyed his goatee.
He's in that car, though.
I know.
I mean, he's driving that car. How can he not be found? And by the way, this guy with this girl is so easy to spot.
Yeah. You would think all of America's looking for him now.
They arrested somebody, I want to say North Carolina. I think there was a guy that looked similar to him and had his daughter with him.
Oh, no kidding.
And he got mistaken identity. They released him right away.
Oh,
but
good job, Cummins. Now you're getting other people pulled off the street. Oh, I hate that dick.
He's quite a loser. Quite a loser. And Pete, it's funny. Somebody emailed that to me. Just note how in love he is with his goatee.
Yeah.
Well, it's a fact.
They hit the nail on the head.
Great call.
Trying to see if there's anything else in this story about it. Yeah, sure. Her hair is dark red. Cummins beard. It's not a beard. It's a goatee. That's how they're going to catch him. They should start reporting that it's a beard, and he'll end up.
He'll be so angry. Yeah. He'll come forward.
It's a goatee, and it's really cool.
Well, just do your stakeouts at Walmart. Everywhere they're spotted.
Yeah.
Is it Walmart?
Been to Walmart. Yeah. Man, I went to Walmart the other day. In, where's that at? 15 Mile in Troy.
Yeah.
You know, the joke about Walmart is there's all kinds of people at Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
So you never know what you're going to see. I walk in and somebody just is standing there with a pet rabbit. And I just went, oh, okay, cool. This is Walmart. Why would you have a pet rabbit at Walmart? Yeah, they don't sell rabbits.
I don't know. Why would you have a pet rabbit at Walmart?
I don't know. I just accepted it as, oh, okay. Why not?
I'm at Walmart.
Anything goes. Why? Anything goes.
Yeah, people email in the craziest things they've seen at Walmart or the grocery store or something like that.
Well, it just has to be Walmart. Yeah.
Oh, there's always people putting up. There's websites, people. How people dress at Walmart. What they wear to Walmart, all that sort of stuff. I was going to say, by the way, that Tad Cummings looks a little like George Michael in his fat days.
Oh.
That goatee. Because his glasses are kind of like George Michael's.
Oh, Drew, don't say that. If he's listening to the podcast, he's going to get even harder.
Well, I mean, the fat George Michael, the end of his life George Michael.
Yeah, but
With the head, when he had shaved his hair so close to his head that it looked like it was painted on. I mean, didn't George Michael's hair look like it was painted on?
Yeah.
And his goatee looked like that, too.
Where's Michael's body today? Has he been buried yet?
God, I can't remember.
Or is he on the Casey Kasem tour?
He could be. I don't think it's going to be anything like that. Yeah, that Casey Kasem thing was so weird. God, Gene Kasem turns out to be this freak who's jealous of his kids to no end. You see a resemblance? I mean, it's kind of slight. When he's in those fat pictures at the end of his life, he's really big. And Ted Cummings is definitely overweight.
Let's see. Yeah, nobody knows if George Michael's been buried.
Yeah, there we go. There, he really looks like Tad Cummings there. Oh, my God.
Oh, now he looks like Tad Cummings.
I know, how embarrassing.
That's how people are going to remember George Michael, as looking like the teacher.
Mark, you have to look at this one picture. It's... I mean, if he had Cummings glasses on, look at that right there. That's amazing, isn't it?
Well, not anymore, because I dyed my goatee.
Yeah, they're even the same level of grayness in George's goatee.
Yeah.
George looks like he dyed his mustache, but not the bottom part.
He was a facial hair chameleon, though.
He was.
George Michael.
Boy, there's some typically strange tabloid stuff this week. Including Kenny Rogers Ruined My Life.
Oh, that's a wild story from back in the day.
Well, I don't know. I mean, she's still living her ruined life.
Well,
but it's from back in the day.
Can't give up. Really,
but I mean, once a life is ruined, it's ruined. So she's like still living that ruined life because
she bought a bill of goods.
A woman who says music man Kenny Rogers once sexually assaulted her 25 years ago and tried to manipulate her into kinky phone sex is still haunted by her encounters with the notorious womanizer. So it haunts her regularly, even though it was 25 years ago. She can't, I mean, at night, at some point, it'll come back to her.
Yeah.
It will
Whenever the
her.
Phone rings.
Yeah.
It could be Kenny Rogers ready to engage.
That's right.
Phone sex.
Lisa Applewhite, who now goes by Kimball, she probably changed her name to... avoid any connection to Kenny Rogers.
And then tells everybody.
Blames Rogers for destroying her and her dreams. He ruined my life. He's filthy scum. She visited Rogers at his New York hotel when she was 26 years old and says she thought she was going to a movie audition.
You know what this sounds? It sounds like Cosby.
Yeah, except there's no sleeping.
Yeah.
He grabbed me and tried to kiss me. She refuses his advances and says Rogers threatened to use his power to kill her career. You make out with me or I'll kill your career. I wonder if he actually said that.
How much power did Kenny Rogers have?
Spread your legs and get off! Or I'll kill your career! You will get off on being with me!
I want to kiss you.
How could Kenny Rogers kill anyone's career?
Well, he killed his own...
Sorry, it's a great record, but Kenny Rogers put the word out.
The kibosh.
Your career is dead, lady.
Rogers calls. We got to do what he says.
She refuses his advances, says Rogers threatened to use his power to kill her career. Even after the incidents, Rogers, now 78, would still call her at home to indulge his sick sexual fantasies.
See, that's why she's still living in fear.
He tried to talk me into talking dirty. How does the phone call last long enough for him to try to talk her into talking dirty? Oh, come on. Can't we have some really nasty, can't we have some dirty talk? No! I told you, Kenny. And I told you I'd ruin your career.
No, he grooms her first. He's like, you still want to be in movies? I can still make it happen.
Be a movie role. Talk a little dirty to me. What are you wearing? Around the same time, the gambler singer faced a 92 lawsuit from two other women in the Dallas, Texas area claiming he made obscene phone calls from a private line.
Wow.
What, he just calls strangers and starts talking dirty to them?
Yeah.
Singer settled with a woman out of court denying any wrongdoing. I thought phone sex was the safest sex there was, only to get hammered by it, said Kenny Rogers.
What? He thought phone sex was the safest sex to have? Let's just go beat off, Rogers.
Jeez.
You got to know when to hold it, know when to stroke it. That's his phone sex. It's just taking his own stupid songs and making
He was
sex.
Having some wild, I mean, he had that crazy 1-800 number. People would call for, they would call the number for his, like, his message for them, and then they would leave a message for him, and he'd call the 1-800 number.
Wow.
They had a real wild thing set up.
Maybe he,
for the technology at the time, it was amazing.
Maybe what gets him off is just the phone.
And he had a, sounds like it.
The technology of it.
He did have a three-way with Diane Parkinson from Price is Right.
Yeah.
It was hot as hell. I bet she's still hot as hell. Catherine Heigl, career cursed Catherine Heigl's new TV series, Doubt, was canceled after only two episodes. And friends worry recent work woes could put her marriage on the chopping block.
The chopping block.
Catherine, who married musician Josh Kelly in 2007, was banking on bouncing back big with Doubt, says the source. And so was her hubby. Josh was thrilled to play house husband and have Catherine working long hours again. We want her out of the house.
Mm.
Their marriages always thrive when Catherine is busy. She's not around to be nasty. And Josh is holding down the fort. Sounds like he's a major load. Holding down the fort. Well, that's pretty tough to do. I'll hold down the fort. You go have a hit TV show.
Well, remember the story with her and what a bitch she was?
Yeah.
After
no, she's,
up
she sounds like a major bitch.
Shit all over, knocked up and ragged on it for being anti-woman.
And the movie was a giant hit.
Yeah. She became such a pain in the ass to work with, including her mom.
That's right.
Her mom was a total pain in the ass that nobody would hire because she was supposed to be this huge movie star, and now she's reduced to television.
Well, she left, but she left, what was the TV show? Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
I mean,
to do movies.
Right. But Grey's Anatomy was flying high at the time. I mean, it flew high for a long time after that. Beautiful Blonde shot to fame, starring as Dr. Izzy Stevens on Grey's Anatomy. Actor Izzy Stevens? She's not an Izzy. But she bolted after making outrageous money demands and butting heads with show creator Shonda Rhimes. Since then, Catherine's had a string of flops and developed a reputation as a diva off-screen. The Mole insists they've been bickering nonstop lately, her and her husband. And friends are wondering if Catherine's latest career setback could wreck their marriage once and for all. Here is this.
What has she done? Has she done outside?
No, she's had a string of flops. She has done nothing.
String of flops. I'm just looking at him now. I don't know any of these movies she's done.
She's a debacle.
Yeah.
I got an amazing.
She was in Zizek's Road. Do you remember what Zizek's Road was?
What is that?
The movie that made the least amount of money ever for a release.
Oh,
there's
wow.
That big article about it I think you read once on
yeah,
the air.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize
she is a goofus.
She was the star of Zizek's Road.
Here's a great radio story for you. Gab man Joseph J.G. Spooner, an announcer for Cleveland's 92.3 The Fan and a sports host. I wonder if he's, I bet she's a weekend talent.
I know this story. This dick.
Set up an online GoFundMe account for Allison Thaddeus Zappi, a childhood pal whose cystic fibrosis was slowly killing her. After using his celebrity to generate donations, Spooner changed the password account and siphoned off more than $7,700 in donations, putting it into his personal account.
Piece of shit.
When Alice and other family members demanded to know where the money went, he concocted a whopping lie that GoFundMe had swiped the loot. Yeah, GoFundMe steals money all the time.
They believed it for a while.
He even fired off emails threatening to sue the company. But the Bunko artist's flimsy scam fell like a house of cards when prosecutors started investigating. Then they tied him to other swindles. He allegedly advertised a home for rent without having permission to lease it and stole more than $8,500 from six people. Spooner's pals gave him a bar job, and the flim flam man stole and cashed bank checks totaling $6,500. God, what a loser. Jesus. Yeah, click here to support Allison Zappi Fund by J.G. Spooner. Spooner. Stupid name. Look at this.
I want to hear this weasel. You want to hear his show?
Look at his mugshot, yeah, too.
Play a clip of J.G. Spooner's. Right. I know, with no shirt on.
His tattoos.
What, he thinks he's hot in his mugshot?
Jock shock.
Don't tell me he's a shock jock.
No, that was the headline.
Oh.
Jock shock.
Oh. J.G. Spooner.
A terrible name.
You got some Spooner audio?
I'm looking for some.
There's a picture of him with his dog.
Aww.
On the air. He's got his headphones on.
Why?
Puppy in his arms. I don't know, just because he thought he was cool.
J.G. Spooner's birthday with Pop Rocks. Oh, it's him singing on the stage.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Screw this guy. No thanks. Oh, wow, he sat in with Kylie and Booms.
Really?
Mm.
Why?
I don't know.
Funny guy, Whoopi Goldberg trimmed off 50 pounds before joining The View a dozen years ago. But guess what?
She's packed it back on.
She's gained that and more back.
Let me guess. She's digging a grave with a fork and a knife.
Not quite. They haven't gotten that far yet. They say she's in danger of developing deadly cancer. She's put herself at serious risk to contract breast, uterine, and cervical cancer, warns Dr. Stuart Fisher.
Author of?
They don't give his...
what?
It's the diet, the amazing something
Park
diet.
Park Avenue diet.
Park Avenue diet, that's right. She weighed about 170 when she joined The View, but New York internist Dr. Fisher was not treated. The star says, I saw her on The View, and she does not look like her former self. She looks to have gained at least 70 pounds, which means the 5'5" comic is crushing the scale at 240 pounds.
You're the fattest thing I've ever seen.
That's unfortunate.
That reminds me, there's a story about some doctor. You didn't happen to see Inside Edition maybe Friday?
I did not.
There was this doctor, and she used to do stories on Fox News. She was a breast specialist. She would take care of breast cancer.
Uh-huh.
And one day, she decided to double park her car in Manhattan and run into the drugstore and come back out, which is kind of a dick move anyway.
Yeah.
She comes out, and there's two cops doing their job, giving her a ticket, and she starts berating them. The don't you know who I am? I'm a doctor. I'm the one that really saves lives, stuff like that.
Oh, God.
And then they try to arrest her. So then she takes off, and so they arrest her after she takes off. It becomes a scandal. She's on the cover of the Post and all the newspapers there. Loses her job, gets fired. But the interesting part of the story to me is that now she's trying to revive her career in stand-up comedy.
Oh, God.
And Drew, they showed some clips of her stand-up comedy, and I could not believe how bad it was.
Oh, my God.
Do you care to hear some if I can?
Sure, if you can find some. All right. I mean, I can't think of anyone who has tried to revive their career with stand-up comedy who has succeeded.
She wasn't a comedian, though.
Well, neither was Frank Turner.
Oh, that's a good comparison.
I mean, who would have thought Frank Turner? You know, it's funny. I went to see him when he was at the Comedy Castle. And people were actually laughing at his material, which was so bad.
Awkwardly?
No. I mean, there must have been friends. They had to be friends. That's all I can think of.
Well, I think this doctor probably had some friends in the audience, too, because they're jokes, but they're not funny. They're just, I don't know, it's hard to explain, and people actually laugh at them.
Well, people go to a comedy club intending to laugh. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to be really bad to shut down a comedy club crowd. They're always fired up.
Here she is. They're pretty much recapping the story. I was
confrontational. According to police, Dr. Wellner told them, quote, I'm a doctor. I have patients that are dying.
Fake.
I'm the hero. The cops are not.
Yeah, patients then dying, yet you stopped from the drugstore.
Allegedly hitting one cop with her car. The damage was done. Her embarrassing arrest made front page news.
Spin doctor. It's shattered my professional career.
Social media went ballistic. Mm-hmm. You are so disgusting. You must think you're above the law. For a doctor, you sure are a stupid blank. It got worse. Dr. Wellner was fired.
That was the hardest part. I spent 20 years in training.
For a doctor, you're a stupid fuck.
And I didn't actually believe that that was going to happen.
In some respects, her story is like that of another doctor who, in a moment of fury, saw her career go up in flames.
I was very upset, and I mean, there's no excuse.
That is the voice of a doctor.
Remember Dr. Anjali Ramkasoon? She lost her job after getting into an argument with an Uber driver in Miami.
The Uber driver shoves her. Oh, here you go.
Welcome to Rachel Wellner.
And here is Dr. Rachel Wellner today. And you won't believe what she's doing
now. Almost nothing.
Is there a doctor in the house?
Yep, stand-up comedy. She tried out her material at a comedy club in South Beach, Miami, where she now lives. And yes, she does doctor jokes.
I'm a breast specialist. Now, I know that we've changed this from the sunshine state to the silicone state, but I don't do cosmetics. Like, I take out cancer, right? So you all feel bad right now because you thought I was the other.
She's also trying her hand as an erotic novel writer.
Wow. Grim.
Oh, yeah, she's also writing a novel like 50 Shades of Grey.
Wow.
You didn't like those jokes?
Why wouldn't she just try to be a doctor in another state or something? Just go get it. I mean, seriously.
I don't know.
There's an incredible story here. I swear, I don't know what to make of this. Elvis's ex-wife, Priscilla Presley, seems to have a nose for trouble. We caught the Naked Gun sex siren sniffing a mysterious substance behind the wheel of her $100,000 Range Rover, and the photo certainly raised some eyebrows. It's interesting because she has custody of Lisa Marie's kids right now. So, you know, the idea that she's so responsible. And, I guess Priscilla can't have a whiff of trouble, says the Observer. But the 71-year-old granny appeared oblivious to everything as she lifted a tiny spoon-shaped wand to her nose on an L.A. street. After a couple sniffs, the brains behind Priscilla Presley perfumes drove off, looking rejuvenated, if a bit dazed. Priscilla certainly has been a bundle of energy lately.
Oh, jeez.
She filled in for Lisa Marie, now in drug rehab, at the gala reopening of Elvis's Memphis home, Graceland, and is romancing Welsh crooner Tom Jones, as well as playing nanny to 8-year-olds Harper and Finley. Look at this picture.
What is she thinking?
She's got something.
Oh, wow. In
her nose. Sure looks suspicious.
Wait, you know what that is?
What is it?
That is, that's funny. That is a, it's a like a toothpick floss. Like that green part, I have some of those at home.
Why is it at her nose? It looks like a spoon.
I don't know. Maybe she's smelling it after she flossed her teeth. It does kind of look like a spoon, but that green part
is
like
the other end of it.
Floss.
The end, it's like not the end that's at her nose, but the other part.
It's like a toothpick.
I've seen them.
You've seen them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Believe me, I wish it was.
Look at the other end. Look at this end, though. Doesn't it look like a spoon?
It's flat. So.
Oh, it's flat? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, boy, that doesn't explain the bundle of energy she became.
I'm actually mad she wasn't doing cocaine.
I'm not happy either.
I don't know why she's smelling
it. Then why did she become a bundle of energy? If a bit dazed.
What is this weird fetish she has of smelling her teeth?
Kind of weird.
Plaque. Boy.
She smells her armpits in her spare time.
And her farts.
Probably. She cups them.
Queefs.
Nice.
Ew. But speaking of queefs, I feel bad for Robin Roberts now because her team lost.
Oh, they did?
I don't know why that.
She'll talk about what
that segue didn't work. I just want
she'll bring up what a great effort they made though tomorrow,
and she'll talk about how great South Carolina is and their coach and something.
She must have something going on with the South Carolina coach.
You think so?
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised.
There's a little bit of that activity in that sport. Sure is.
A little bit of that activity. Once again, all referees were female. Two out of the three announcers were female. And I believe the PA announcer was female.
Which, by the way, everyone says is wonderful whenever it's disclosed. Remember when Harpo was describing it? Yes, it's all female. Everyone's a female. Human resources is female. All the bookers are female. It's like,
that's not fair.
Wait a second. Why is that okay?
And a hire who's best for the job.
Yeah. I thought that was. It'd certainly be a...
Yeah!
A little more diverse or inclusive.
Actually, three out of the four reporters are female. Yeah!
Funny how when something is exclusive, if it's the right person doing the excluding, it's okay.
And they used pink on the court, which seems, you know, a little stereotypical for women.
To say the least.
Wouldn't you think someone would complain about that?
Yeah, that looks like a Jay. Jay's got a picture of
what's it called, Jay?
Gum.
G-U-M.
Soft picks.
Yeah.
Why is she sniffing her soft picks?
She likes the way her tooth plaque stinks.
I think she stuck it in her butt. Now she's smelling it.
She just... It's like a miniature butt plug to
she's
her.
She's doing something wrong.
They're like tiny butt plugs.
Caitlyn Jenner is now dating a 25-year-old Aussie supermodel who used to be a guy.
Oh, wait.
She actually had a full... She had the full transformation. She's a transgender. She's now a female. She used to be a dude. She's 25, and she's now Caitlyn's girlfriend.
I was trying to... The description of that person was so long, I was trying to figure out what was going on. So it's a...
I know. It's confusing as hell.
Man that is now a woman that is 25 and from Australia.
Yeah, an Aussie supermodel.
What kind of supermodel?
I don't know.
Formerly a supermodel or now a supermodel?
I think now a supermodel. She's pretty hot. I mean, for a former guy.
What is she doing with Jenner?
I don't know. And Jenner's 67. Jenner? Yeah, absolutely. She's trying to get publicity for herself.
That's funny. The old man show this morning.
Yeah.
Had two bios on people. One was on Alec Baldwin, who's got a memoir coming out.
Yeah.
And of course he mentioned, you know, Hilaria, which is a stupid name for his wife. Hilaria.
Yeah.
She's 33.
Uh-huh.
And you know, he obviously mentions how lucky he is that she's so young and would go for such a guy.
Oh yeah, he's so lucky. Doesn't have anything to do with his bank account.
Exactly. And then the other profile they did was on Willie Nelson, who's 23 years older than his wife.
Oh, and he's lucky too?
Yeah. He has so much energy. He has more energy than she does, she said.
Hoo-ah.
I just thought it was funny. Nice. These famous rich men. They always get the younger chicks.
Yeah, I know. Disgusting. 23 years and what in Baldwin's case, 25 years? That's just kind
that
of
difference?
Ridiculous. Yeah. What is the limit to what's reasonable? A reasonable age difference.
Ooh, boy.
Take Baldwin. Baldwin's what? He's like 59, I think.
But see, as you get older, it seems less.
No, I agree.
Less and less.
I agree.
I don't know. A 35-year-old with a 21-year-old, that's okay. That's what? Is that okay?
30,
that's too young.
35 and 21
it's
are
different worlds.
Worlds apart, in my opinion.
So 35 and 25? Is 10 okay?
That's a little weird. It's still 25 and 35. If you're talking about 35 and 45, I don't think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
As big a deal. Not nearly as big a deal.
What was Anna Nicole Smith and the love of her life?
It was only 59 years or something.
Howard Marshall.
Yeah. That was disgusting.
They were a lovely couple.
There's another story in here about Nick Vial. And Vanessa,
ugh.
They're having difficulties because now they have a long-distance relationship because he's doing Dancing with the Stars and she's still in Canada. Why isn't she in Los Angeles with him? Because they have to have Sunday dinners with her parents?
Yeah, I was going to say, remember, she will not leave her family.
It's non-negotiable. I'm not going to sugarcoat things. Some days are tougher than others, confessed a Canadian special ed teacher. Nick echoed his fiancée's sentiments, admitting, it's been difficult at times. We know we have a long way to go, and we're realistic. We're still getting to know each other. That's the reality. Wait, but I thought when you had the fantasy suite, you got to know each other so much better that one night.
Yeah, he spent all his time.
I thought
talking
on those three dates. Yeah,
he knows her butthole better than her mind.
Vanessa remains in Canada. It's putting a strain on an already tenuous bond. There were moments when I wanted him to be a little more empathetic towards my feelings. Oh, she's such a pain in the ass.
And he's like, I liked it better when it was just me and your vagina.
We've had our challenges with that. Vanessa admitted losing some knockdown, drag-out fights with Nick. Well, they're not going to drag out on her side. As Star reported, friends say Vanessa still carries a torch for her ex, Smallville actor Michael Rosenbaum.
Ooh.
And can now reveal she was also once an aspiring actress with big parts in sci-fi shows like Being Human and Ascension.
Well, wait, when she was filming those, didn't she miss the dinners?
Seems to me, unless they shot them in Canada in her hometown.
That was in her contract.
Well, very interesting. All right, the 204 mark opening day tomorrow. Excited to see a baseball game. Is that an afternoon game?
Oh, I believe
it
so.
It probably is.
Yeah.
So, hey, we'll talk about a baseball game tomorrow. That'll be fun.
I'm watching.
Is that Jay? Is that Vanessa?
No, I'm just looking to see what Corinne's doing these days.
Oh, Corinne.
What is my girl doing?
How could I forget about Corinne? Oh, look at her. She's smiling, having fun with her girlfriends.
Slayers.
Oh, the Slayers.
The
She's that? Part of a group called the Slayers.
That?
How can you be part of the Slayers and run a multi-million-dollar company? Well, now down below there was some audio. It looked like. Yeah, there you go. Let's hear Corinne. And the Slayers. No audio?
Maybe it's an April Fool's joke.
Still slay.
Every single one of us slays in a different kind of way.
That's true.
We're Slayers. We're the fucking Slayer ones.
What is that?
That's it. That was clever. Wow. I'm impressed.
Hey, did we want to call review?
Oh, call our buddy at the John Gosselin?
Untamed Male Review. Hey, speaking of April Fool's jokes, which are really stupid. Like, I hate them.
I know. I'm really tired of them.
And I opened up Facebook, and it was all like, Miguel Cabrera traded to the Dodgers for... so stupid. But one of them was Pornhub. Pornhub did.
What'd they do?
If you went on Pornhub yesterday... A pop-up came up right away. A pop-up came and said, I think it was Pornhub, but basically that everything you watch is automatically shared on your social media, which would freak people out if they went to a porn site and saw that.
Well, yeah, it's pretty clever on Pornhub's part.
A pretty good April
Fool's. Flip some people job. Out.
I thought so. There's the number for Untamed Male Review.
I wonder if he'll be nicer now.
That guy, no way.
They made a lot of money, though.
I bet you
they broke the internet.
Yeah, can you like help me get my internet up? That's John broke it.
Test 1 2. Test.
They are open.
Test voice 1 2. 1 2. Affirmative man with a cold.
Testing. Testing.
Broke his phone too. Broke the internet and his phone.
Everything that comes in orbit of John gets broken.
John sure taught the media a lesson.
Hello?
Hello?
You've reached Eric with the Dust Management Group. Please leave a message at the beep and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks and have a great day.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
I wanted to see about a refund for the untaped show from John Gosselin on April the 1st. It was improperly advertised. I thought there was false advertising. And I wanted to see if I could get my buddy, M-O-N-E-Y, my buddy back for me and my nine guests. I was very disappointed, and I don't think John taught the media a lesson at all. Media, M-E-D-I-A, media.
Should I ask the media for a refund? Or does Untamed provide them?
Also, I did not find my internet was broken. John Gosselin said the internet was broken. I want my money back for that too, please.
But I heard he had a really good party. His whole family was there. All 8 kids.
I think that's inappropriate that his family would be at a strip show or any kind of a bail review. M-A-L-E, bail.
Why do you guys let kids in?
That's very inappropriate to have John's children at the show. I'd like to issue a complaint and also get buddy back for them. Thank you very much. I look forward to hearing back from you.
Bye.
Well, we're calling that dingus tomorrow.
I know. Was that
was him.
That was him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so that's John's manager?
No, he's the manager for Untamed Male Review.
Oh, God. Okay. Hey, tomorrow, Tigers' first game.
Yeah.
Talk about that and whatever else in the world's going on.
Lead up to the NCAA championship.
Oh, that's right. Boy, big sports
day. Great games, man.
It's a veritable sporgy. Yeah, I could not believe UNC missed those 4 free throws at the end of that game and got both the rebounds. Oh!
Did you see Jordan Bell crying afterwards, too?
Yeah, was he sitting on the ground bawling?
Yeah, in the locker room he was crying, too. That guy was a stud.
He had a great tournament.
Really helped beat Michigan, destroy Kansas' play. But he made, like, 3 really good plays in the last minute except for missing those rebounds. He was the guy that fell on the ground and squirted the ball out.
Yeah.
On that break.
Yeah. No, he was ballsy.
Felt bad for him. Sports.
Well, that's too bad. That's what it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, I just knew Carolina was going to win that game one way or the other, but then they could miss four free throws like that. What a choke. So we'll see.
Gonzaga deserved a win, too, because there's always been that age-old question, do you foul when you're up three and the other team has the ball? And they did it perfectly.
Yeah, I thought they did, too.
I think you always should, and they did it perfectly with 3.5 seconds left.
Yeah, there was nothing they could do at that point. Game was over.
Nope.
Not enough time to do anything.
Well, they made the first and then purposely missed the second. Of course, couldn't get the rebound. So, ball game.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. See ya!